about. So easy.
You
got to
put it in perspective.
Warning. Announcing the commencement of the annual purge. At the siren, all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 hours. Your government thanks you for your participation.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Anyway, you just gotta do what Taylor Swift does and shake it off.
Who's Taylor Swift?
Oh my God! Am I about to introduce you to Taylor Swift?
What is she, a singer?
She's much more than a singer, Chris. She's the queen, a goddess, a gazelle in a high-waisted swimsuit.
Sorry, if you're neither insane, nor clowns, nor a posse, I'm not interested.
Isn't that the voice that caused all those suicides?
Murder suicides.
And now.
Don't forget to follow me on Facebook. Find out what's happening under Rodney on the Rock, ROQ. Maybe it's Rodney Bingenheimer. Who knows? But I'll be back.
Our feature presentation.
Why does he say who knows?
He still has no idea what his Facebook address is.
Because, I mean, there's only one person that should know, and it's him.
Yeah.
Yes. And the person who is dispensing the information on the radio. You'd think it would be him. He would be the one. I bet Rodney has never used Facebook.
Ever.
He's got a guy who puts up stuff for him.
Yeah,
for
that's true. Yeah, he's got a person.
Yeah. I bet I wouldn't be surprised if Roddy doesn't have a computer. And I'm not even joking about
that. Oh, no. I would guess that, too.
Because you know how he always talks about how he only wants you to send him physical music in the mail.
No digital music ever.
Doesn't do downloads at all. Yeah. Doesn't do streaming at all.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. He's still living very comfortably in the 1980s.
Yes,
Roddy is.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 1st of March.
Yeah.
Allie, welcome back. We missed you very much yesterday.
New year, new you. March 1st.
I don't think it's a new year.
Okay.
Did you guys have the tradition, and I don't know where it came from or if it's commonplace or if it was just me, but my mom used to always say on the first of every month, she always used to say, white rabbits, white rabbits, white rabbits.
That sounds psychotic. I love it.
Right. Like, ever heard anything like that?
That sounds like Jeffrey Dahmer.
I don't know. What does that even mean?
It was some sort
white of... White rabbit, white rabbit, white rabbit?
Yes, it was some sort of thing that was a tradition, and I don't know if it's a British thing or if it was just a her family thing or what it was, but it was something that she said on the first of every month, and I don't know if she were alive today, we could ask her, but I don't know whether it was meant as a good luck thing or it was just an acknowledgement of a new month or what the history of it was, but am I the only one who
I've
ever heard of anything like that?
Never heard of it.
Pete's mom was crazy.
If we had telephones, we could invite people to call in if they were familiar with anything like that.
Oh, that would be cool, right? Because then they would say, hey, yeah, my dad used to say that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I found it.
You found it online?
Thank you.
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit is a variant of a superstition found in Britain and North America that states that a person should say or repeat the word rabbit, white rabbit, or just rabbits, or some combination loud upon waking on the first day of the month. Going to ensure good luck.
How about that?
Well, that's just stupid.
Insane.
Right?
Right? You just wake up, you're like, white rabbit, white rabbit, white rabbit. That's cuckoo.
First
you're of set
all,
for the month. Everything goes well.
Everything's fine.
First of all, how about an apology for my dear late mother, because you were quick to write her off as being crazy.
Well,
right?
By the way, I'm not positive that she wasn't. I don't know what Allie's reading from, but I'm guessing that it doesn't bring you good luck, Bean. I'm guessing that
reading
that's false.
From some psychiatric journal about
right.
people who have been admitted to crazy houses.
Right, exactly.
Does it say, Allie, is there a Wikipedia page or anything like that mm-hmm. on the origin of rabbit, rabbit, rabbit? Does it say where it came from or how far back it goes or why it was started? Did it at any point involve rabbits, for instance?
It's unknown, though it was recorded in notes and queries as being said by children in 1909.
So said goes by back children to in
1909.
How would something like that ever get started?
I don't
know.
That's
I don't know.
Bizarre.
That is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, it is bizarre. So
it used to just be rabbit, 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 but Bean's mom was racist, so she added white.
Well, you were allowed to say rabbit, rabbits, or if you're racist, white rabbits.
Sure, so. She was racist.
She wore a hood.
It's right here on Wikipedia.
She wore a hood. Just admit it.
Yeah.
it sounds racist.
Right? It does a little bit. Then. All right. So, and one more thing before we move on to talk about today's show. Since it is the 1st of March, can we go around the room and see how we're doing on our March bounce today? Because I know that there has been a struggle in the past with certain members of the Kevin and Bean Show not being able to say that.
Certain members being Bean. This was back when we used to label every month.
Right.
And it started with Miss Double December.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved on to
January.
January.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
And then it was Februariola.
Februariola. Right.
And then it was then March.
Kabow bow.
Right.
Wow. That was good.
All right. Allie?
That was good.
March kabow bow.
All right. Bean?
March kabow bow.
There's your problem right there.
Why is it me?
You know who the person is that couldn't do it? You.
I knew it was somebody.
You had a partial memory. I wish you had the whole thing. You would have not asked that question.
Chip, can you do it?
March kabow wow.
I mean,
well, that was a little bow wow, I think.
I mean, it's a seven.
Let's leave a little bow wow out of it, actually.
Give you a seven.
And then it was
Aprilingus.
Aprilingus, yep. Yes.
Oh. Yep.
And then it was May I See Them.
Right.
Was good.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Poon.
You guys are children.
The month of Poon.
And then tell her about July.
Well, July was July kid in the butt was July. So we had
right.
that. And then there was
July. Would you? Do you right. like it in
do
the butt?
Do you like it
in the
it
butt?
Was a question, right.
Know. Okay.
And then there was, and I don't even want to be the one to do this, but I guess we're on the topic now. And then August was, August. It was, that was that.
Oh, my God.
Wow, we were desperate, weren't we?
And then what was after August? It
probably
was
probably Sextember.
Sextember,
oh,
of course.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we can't say, I don't think we can say what October was. That one fade off the air. And then Blovember. I think Blovember
right.
rounded out
wow.
the year for us.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was no
I
white
mean,
rabbit,
defied
white
a
rabbit,
lot of
rabbit,
fun.
I don't know. At the time, it amused us.
Good Lord.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're a murderer, Kevin.
How dare you? Our phones still don't work.
Good but Lord.
But we have this. They went out yesterday morning at 7 a.m., and we mm-hmm. just we assumed, like all things. I mean, first of all, we assumed that they would come back within half an hour.
Right.
They didn't during the entire show. So then we assumed, wrongly, that it would be fixed in 24 hours.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not. It's not fixed. So we don't.
Shocking.
So we do have tickets for Red Hot Chili Peppers, but I think we're going to have mugs just run down La Cienega and you're
just
tackling
them.
I don't know. I'm not sure how we're going to do it.
Wow.
But we don't have phones.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that seems bad.
It is weird because you would think that we're a business with lots of telephones in the building.
Yeah.
You would think
none
would
of them work.
A business client to whoever our phone company is, and that they would kind of escalate whatever the trouble ticket was and get it fixed.
Yeah. Who's the phone company? Do we know?
I'm not sure. Who,
I don't know either.
Let's call them out. Say, hey.
How are we going to call
help?
Them?
A great no, point.
Call them out, Bean.
Call them out.
Call them out.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't mean call them. Comedian Jimmy Pardo will be here. Love him.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we're doing Kevin Mad Libs the News.
Oh, no.
So I'm not a fan of. Somehow we're going to try and do Wheel of Bad Animal Voices because it's Wednesday.
We may
How
have
are we
to have the
call
the,
an animal.
We may have to have the goat in the studio or whoever it is it lands on.
And we have Dolph Lundgren in studio.
What?
Come on. Come on with the come on. The kids love Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren. Right?
Yes.
Legend.
Legend.
Right, legend.
Can't wait.
Very Can't excited. Wait as well. Very excited. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the show. Biz B next. Let me shoot across the
sky. Hey! Let me shoot nope, across not even the sky. Over.
It's over. I mean, it's over now.
Right. So that's when the hay would go. There.
I mean, that's for a novice, sure.
Kevin is comfortable with his performance.
That's correct.
That's
Ain't
what
that
we've learned
truth.
About Kevin.
Ain't yeah. that the truth? Which is just, really?
How dare you?
Right?
Ralph, don't you feel like somebody should have told us at some point yesterday that the phones weren't coming back?
This place is a clown show.
It really is a clown show. It really is shocking to me that nobody thought, hey, you know what, that show that's on where they take calls from people and they talk to guests on the phone and they do giveaways, maybe we'll give them a heads up that the phones are still out. I'm a little bit stunned by that.
Well, I mean, they did say yesterday that they would give us an update.
They would keep us posted.
So if
right.
that's what you're looking for, that was promised.
Did anybody get an update?
No.
Nope.
Or was it a bad surprise this morning when everybody walked in?
It was a bad surprise.
A
said,
total
hey, look,
surprise.
Those phones still aren't working.
100% surprised.
It's possible in a professional radio situation that those phones are still not working, is what everyone said this morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not possible. This isn't real life. We're in the upside down again, you guys. All right. Well,
the
we
Kevin
press
Bean
on.
Show. Bad surprise. We need new shirts.
I like it.
We need new shirts. Because of all the old shirts we still have in the stock room?
Sorry, we need shirts.
Yes. We need some. Why? But why promote a show that has no phones, Kevin, when that's, you think about
that's
it?
That's a good point.
Really, we get what we deserve.
That's a good point.
We get clowns. That's what we get.
We get clowns.
We get Mr. Clown.
I should have stayed asleep.
You should have.
This is just BS.
You had the right idea yesterday, Allie.
Just stayed in goddamn television. What were you thinking?
Right.
Right.
I think that all the time.
You know, you never show up for a live shot from the goat farm, and they say, oh, you know what? We don't have any cameras today.
Well,
what?
About that.
You don't have any cameras
about
at the goat
that.
Farm? Did you ever show up and not have a camera?
Yes, a couple times.
All right.
Really?
They drove to the live shot, forgot the camera back at the studio. But it was more of a question of things working once we got to the place. So I'm convinced it happens everywhere.
Really? Every it's place is as janky as K-Rock?
Not as janky, but subpar.
Okay.
Just saying.
Janky light.
Right. Janky adjacent.
Okay. 5:54, we're going to press on with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I want to give people a heads up that Friday night at 10 p.m., once again, writer, director, actor, raconteur Kevin Smith and I will express our love for each other on stage, live, right in front of your eyes.
No.
It's called Hollywood Babylon. We have a pretty good time. I think you would, too, if you come out. A lot of people have. A lot of people said, hey, that was fun. 10 p.m. Friday night at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com. to get more information and get your tickets. Love to
I
see
don't know
there.
What you're talking about, but my gut says no.
Also, Beer Mug, by the way, is still financially...
strapped?
Well, I don't know about that.
Underwater?
I just know that he's having a hard time coming up with the money he owes my daughter for Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's been an ongoing battle now for a couple days.
How much is it?
It's like $20.
He should be put in the electric chair.
Agreed. Hate to agree with that guy, but I'm down.
Oh, no.
I don't know what you think. I forgot. I'll have it for you hopefully by Friday.
He's like, by Friday?
Yeah. He's talking to me like I'm a Vinnie Knuckles. He's trying to make some sort of deal so I won't kneecap him because he owes me Thin Mint money.
I assume that he has to take stock of how many people want to kill him, and then they put he puts you in the list wherever that is, and the list is probably 60 long.
He has to proprietize his debts.
He will be fine, he tells me, after the Hurricanes beat the Lightning tonight. That's when he'll have the money for your Girl Scout cookies.
Well, fair enough.
Dude, this is a new level for the mugs. This is a mess.
Yeah. Speaking of a mess... You know, a lot of people last night, in light of the president's speech to Congress, were speculating about the future of America. How can we save our country? And I saw this story this morning. I said, there's nothing worth saving anymore. just let it go. You know who Danielle Bregoli is? Danielle Bregoli?
No.
What have I told you? Cash Me Outside.
How about cash that? Me outside.
All right. What if I gave you that? Would you know who I'm talking about?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Yeah. There is a bidding war. Danielle is being courted by. Wait for the.
Wait, did you say bidding war?
7 different production companies are in talks with Danielle Bregoli, 4 of whom want to immediately launch a reality TV series surrounding Danielle.
Someone should nuke us.
And. The word is, apparently, she is moving from Florida with her mother to here to Los Angeles to pursue her entertainment options, of which apparently there are many.
Stop seeking attention!
So, catch me outside, how about that?
So catch me outside, how about that? Coming to a television set near you.
You got a problem, lady.
Aren't we just rewarding the worst behavior in the world here? Yep. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Why are we doing that?
That's always the way it happens.
But why?
Because...
Catch me outside. How about that?
Right? You didn't think about that, Bean.
I forgot about that.
Factor that in.
Right.
Because... Why doesn't the world look at her and go, she's a horrible person and she should be ostracized?
Because as Rome burns, they need the Christians to fight the lions. so we can all say, look over here, look over here, and just ignore the big problems.
It's the weirdest okay. history lesson ever.
That's how it happened.
Right?
Yes. So, whatever with this country, right?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Ralph, you probably have some very talented friends with some good ideas that would love to be on TV.
All of the above is true. But we don't live in that world.
Right.
No. We live in the catch me outside world.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Right. Here's some good news. If you got tickets for Coachella and you're all bummed because Beyonce is going to be all, oh, look at me. I'm carrying twins. I can't do anything.
Is that what you said?
That's my Beyonce impression. Pretty good, huh? Sure, she's out, but yesterday we had a confirmation. You know who's in?
Lady Gaga!
That's right.
Nice.
Lady Gaga will be stepping in as the headliner over the two weekends of the festival this summer. So how about that? Catch me outside.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I mean, that is a fair and reasonable substitution.
But I swear she brings Tony Bennett for any reason. I'm out. I'm going to some other tent.
Why are you going to come to T-Ben like that?
T-Ben.
Why are you going down on T-Ben? Don't you be out there at Coachella and then you hear the strings swell? In San Francisco. Boy, it sure is hot out here in the desert, isn't it? Come on, that's a good festival right there.
He couldn't be the first 90-year-old on the main stage.
And Tony gets to the edge of stage, just boom, just crowd surfs.
Wow.
Can't believe you guys caught me.
So he just fell. He didn't realize he was crowd surfing?
No, he's crowd surfing. T-Ben knows how to party.
I need this.
Don't break the crease on my pants. Tuxedo's very expensive.
The stage is about 15 feet from the crowd. He's really going to have to take a running start and leap.
Yeah.
He's spry.
Is he?
He's a spry 90-year-old.
I'm just saying there's a lot of other options.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Well, just don't. It's not Tadoff, is it?
No.
Okay.
Justin Bieber. No. Justin Bieber celebrates his 23rd birthday. Kesha's 30, though. Remember that song?
Sure.
Mm. Yeah. Lupita Nyong'o celebrates her 34th birthday. Jensen Ackles is 39. Mark Paul Gosselaar, MPG, celebrates 43.
Just talking about pitch yesterday.
Just talking about pitch. Javier Bardem is 48 years old today. He terrifies me and fascinates me at the same time. Even at the Oscars, it's like, oh, he seems like a charming guy who would kill you. Zack Snyder, the man who's ruined my childhood, is 51 years old today. Tim Daly is 61. Ron Howard. Who doesn't love Ron Howard?
Right?
I'm going to say it again. Ron Howard.
Right?
Yeah, Ron Howard.
63 years old today. And speaking of old rock stars, Roger Daltrey is 73 years old today. Lead singer for the band The Who.
Huh.
So much for that all that hope I die before I get old BS from their song. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One day, we'll be able to give away tickets for you to see that band at Staples Center when they kick up their residency next Tuesday, when the phones come back. And then you'll also be qualified to win a trip to see them in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
You're assuming that we're going to have phones at some point.
Yes, I am. At some point, yes. Okay. K-Rock Wheels Up 2017 Destination for 5. Details at krock.com. All right. I feel like a little bit of a detective here, but I think I've connected two events here, you guys.
Okay.
And I think it needs to be discussed. We found out earlier this week that Kevin French kissed a giraffe. Now, that was a surprise to all of us.
I didn't French kiss
a
giraffe.
There's pictures,
I fed the guy handed me the food, and he said, put it in your mouth, and I did. And then the giraffe...
Chip marked that.
And then the giraffe took its food out of my mouth.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But so it was all giraffe. It was zero me.
I don't know.
I felt like your tongue was just as busy as the giraffe's tongue was.
That is incorrect, sir.
And you guys, it's not, look, there's no light between his mouth and your mouth.
No.
I mean, you guys are mashed together.
He wanted his food, or she, I don't know.
I think we know it's a she.
I think we know it's a she. And here's my other point, and this is why I'm starting to connect the dots here, because Kevin over here is French kissing a giraffe, and then they take off. They don't take photos anymore after that we're aware of. Next thing you know, there's a giraffe on the internet who's getting ready to have a baby. So you put two and two together and tell me what happened here.
That's troubling.
Was the giraffe that you were making out with named April? Do you remember?
I don't remember the name of the giraffe, and I wasn't making out with it.
Well, again, there is photographic evidence.
I don't remember.
April is a 15-year-old giraffe who is
Kevin. Right?
But in giraffe years, she's legal.
She's a senior citizen.
April is at the Animal Adventure Park in Harpersville, New York, and she has become an internet sensation because there is a live giraffe cam on her and has been for some time. Now, Christine, our assistant producer, is in studio. Hey, Christine, how are you?
Hi, guys.
And I found out yesterday that you have been almost full-time monitoring April's progress there in her pen, correct?
I have been held hostage by this
impending
giraffe birth.
You could have turned it off at any point.
I can't. I literally wake up in the morning. It's the first thing I check.
How? Why?
Because they're just so cute when they're born, and it's just so exciting. No?
It's exciting. I mean, you put it on. What's the giraffe doing first thing in the morning? This morning, when you put it on, what was the giraffe doing?
She was standing there.
Okay, tell me what.
Very pregnant.
Right. And that's exciting?
Yeah, because this baby could come at any minute. Mm-hmm. And,
wrong.
I just think that it's just so, like, sweet and adorable. And it's, like, different than all the stuff that's in media right now that everyone's talking about. And so, like,
it's a nice diversion
change
for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Diversion from everything.
How much time total would you say you spend, average per day?
I mean, maybe a lot. So, like,
How many hours?
I'll have the screen on. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you just keep
work,
it on in the background.
Have it
right?
on in the background. Uh-huh. And then at home, you know, just have it on my iPad and just kind of look over every once in a while and see what she's doing.
Make sure you don't
know?
Miss it. Now, yeah. Now, here's a question I had. This is what I'm fascinated with on. And look, I'm no stranger to loving the live animal cams. I think they're awesome, too. I love watching the bears in right. Alaska. I love watching the polar bears in Canada. But here's my question for you. They're going to put up a video of her giving the birth to the giraffe after it happens, I would assume. It's not like you have to catch it live. What is it about that that makes you want to, you know, wake up in the middle of the night to double check that it's not happening?
I don't know. I really think I've become a little attached.
See, she's attached, not
Sweet
me.
Baby
Let's
Jesus.
Talk about her.
I mean, you just kind of like
you're invested.
For,
you're invested.
I'm totally
in the
invested.
Birth.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how do you feel about Oliver? Is he okay? Is
well,
he good
okay.
for her?
So,
who's
Oliver? Oliver is the baby daddy, first of all.
Okay.
Allie.
Okay.
And it was really troubling in the beginning because Oliver and April were kept separate. And so when the stream first started, there was a lot of questions like from people like me. Like, why are you separating them? That's terrible. Because you can see them through the little fencing.
Mm-hmm. Like he should be in there in her hour of need.
Right. But you find out later that, first of all, the male calves, he's not a calf, he's 5 years old, so she's an older woman.
Oh.
They don't really have anything to do with the child rearing process.
Right.
So they're kind of deadbeat dads, first of all, which is weird,
no
right?
Support.
No support.
Okay.
No support, no financial support, totally. And then, I guess, to protect the mom and the baby, they usually separate them because the boys are apparently only interested in two things, so.
Two things?
Fighting and
okay.
So
the double F's.
Yeah.
Wait. So if Oliver is in there and the baby is born, Oliver might try to fight it.
You know, I don't know the details, but that's what.
Or
every...
the other F.
No.
Not it. April.
Well, then there's also
he
the
doesn't
thing
care
where
about April.
There's also the. Oh my God.
I just got so serious.
I don't want people to misunderstand. All right, go ahead.
So apparently also once the baby is born and after it's reared by April, they will take the baby and put it in another park because of fear of incest, because there's only two giraffes in that park.
Oh, my God.
So, holy
this
crap.
Is, this is
a dive, Christine.
Right.
Deep dive.
Do you – what do you what should you be doing with your time? Do you have things to do and people to talk to?
I mean,
to
I suppose
and
I could.
Do you have friends?
That might be a better use of my time.
Life?
But
do you have a life?
I think you guys all know I don't. So
Are we positive that April's pregnant?
April is very pregnant.
April is so pregnant.
Don't you remember that panda in Taiwan that was like, I'm totally pregnant, and it was just to get more food?
Oh, that's right. It was faking everybody out.
What if April is such a bitch and just wants more food?
April is just fat.
You can see the calf moving around.
She's just fat.
Can you? Yeah,
or
you totally
do you really want to see it, Christine?
I'm going to read a sentence, by the way, from livescience.com that you never thought you would hear on this show. Her back end is quite swollen. There's discoloration of the vulva. Okay. And the muscles and ligaments in the tail region have all loosened. There has also been significant mammary development. So, no, it's not like that at all, Kevin.
Yes.
It's not like that at all. What?
I mean...
And listen to this, by the way. From the time the baby's hooves peek out first, and this is what you're hoping to see any minute now, Christine.
Yes.
From the time the hooves peek out first, followed closely by the snout, within 30 to 60 minutes, the calf will be on the ground. The average baby giraffe weighs around 200 pounds and measures 6 feet tall.
Yep.
They're able to stand upright between 5 and 20 minutes. I mean, it is the miracle of birth. I mean, I will say, it is...
Right, but like you say, they're going to put up the video if you're interested. I'm sure you'll be able to watch it.
Yeah, maybe.
Over and over. Why
maybe
would
so.
You...
But maybe at this point, Christine has put 800,000 hours into it. She doesn't want to miss the thrilling conclusion.
It's
how long will you... When was April due?
They said mid-February was
so
the estimate.
So she's overdue right now.
Well,
yeah.
They're usually giraffes can be in their gestation period is 13 to 15 months, and she's been pregnant for 15 months.
You know a lot about giraffes.
Well, there's a lot of facts that come up when you watch these like live streams and stuff. And...
All right. Well, will you be our giraffe cam monitor and just keep us posted and let us know if anything changes, Christine?
Yes, I promise I will let you know what happens with April.
All right. And Kevin, and I'm just going to say this now in advance of the birth. Congratulations to you and April.
What if it comes out with my head? And its neck can't support it. What if that happens?
Dip.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin.
Dip.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:24.
Jimmy Pardo, one of our favorite comedians, joins us in studio coming up just after 7 a.m. on the Kevin and Bean Show today. And the great Dolph Lundgren himself will be here at 9.
Oh!
Very exciting.
Drago!
Very exciting. That's all coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph, glad to see you in here.
Good to be here, Bean. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Good.
I know it's time for one of your very favorite features, and I'm excited as well.
Oh, yeah. Not just me, but the folks, the people. The people. I'm a man of the people. I serve at the pleasure of the people. And the people are demanding more Kevin Mad Libs the News. Right. Kevin does not watch the news, doesn't read the news, doesn't listen to the news. So what we do is we ask him questions about the news, and it's kind of like a Rorschach test. Kevin will just tell us the first thing that pops into his mind, and we'll see just how much Kevin knows about the day's events.
I have no training in this particular skill. I have zero training. I can't.
What do you mean training? This isn't a training thing.
No, news, but I'm saying, news like, listening
a lot of people,
to?
No. No, I'm saying a lot of people learn this kind of stuff, ad-libbing or whatever it is in Second City, and they train
to... We're not asking you to do anything other than just respond.
Okay.
Here we go. Let's start with this story. Kevin, I'm sure you heard about it this week. White House senior advisor Kellyanne Conway faced significant backlash after she put her feet here. Where'd she put her feet?
On the back of an airplane seat.
That's very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
Could be.
No, it was on the couch in the Oval Office. She put her feet on the couch in the Oval Office.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you don't you don't watch this
no,
with
I
your
don't.
Kids, so you didn't know that story.
Wow.
Of course, everybody's talking about the Oscars this week on Sunday night. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway got up to present the award for Best Picture. The reason they were put together was to celebrate the 50th anniversary of
Bubbles for Algernon.
Oh, my God.
Was I right?
That's not even the right title.
You guys remember the very popular Bubbles for Algernon.
Warren Beatty was great in that.
Well, no, they started 50 years ago. They started in Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde.
I'll take that as a win.
Will you?
Yeah.
Did you know it was Flowers, right? For Algernon?
No.
By the way, for folks who don't know, that book was about Kevin.
I wish I got that joke.
Well, the first half was.
Because I'm guessing everyone's laughing at me right now, and I'm just not sure.
Speaking of movies, there was a surprising announcement this week that Chris McKay, the director of the wildly popular Lego Batman movie, was going to helm a live-action superhero movie starring
Teddy Pendergrass.
No. Nightwing. The superhero Nightwing was going to get his own movie. But maybe Teddy will play Nightwing.
I would love to see him come back for that.
Sad news. An elderly woman in Pennsylvania died this week from an infection caused by a bite from
Ted Ziegenbusch.
No. Surprisingly, no. Ted didn't bite her. It was a bed bug. A bed bug.
Oh, my God.
She died from a bed bug infestation, but the infection killed her.
See, this is why I don't watch the news. That's a downer.
That's a downer.
That is.
That is more shocking than getting bitten by Ted Ziegenbusch.
Really? Die from a bed bug bite is rough.
Holy moly.
I'm going to put that in the win column as well.
No, don't. Right. And while we're talking about elderly people, a charming story out of the Netherlands this week. Everybody was talking about 99-year-old Annie, who crossed an item off of her bucket list, Kevin, when she was able to do... She was able to.
Allie's throwing me off because she pointed at her butt.
Say it again. Say it 99-year-old again. 99-year-old Annie in the Netherlands crossed an item off her bucket list this week when she
fought in the UFC.
Oh, Annie.
No, she went to jail.
Went to jail?
She always wanted to know what it was like to spend some time in jail.
How is that on anyone's bucket list?
Because she was always curious what it was like to be in jail. So at 99, they arrested her and put her in jail for the day, and she got to cross that item off of her bucket list.
All right.
You were close. Yeah.
You were very close.
Is that it? Are we done?
We are done with Kevin.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Kevin, Matt lives the news. Oh, what will he say?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Miss Allie McKay, you were out yesterday.
Yeah.
But Beer Mug dropped some knowledge on us that I was very surprised by.
I don't know if I believe that.
I thought about this yesterday and thought, did we actually learn something from Beer Mug?
I felt the same way.
And I think the answer is yes.
What happened?
Here's what happened is we saw a story in the news about a guy named Jim McAlpine. He's in San Francisco, and he's getting ready to open up a new gym called Power Plant Gym. Now, what makes it different is that you smoke weed before a workout at his gym. You're going to be able to buy it right there at the gym, smoke weed, and then work out. And he says, I know what you're thinking. This is just some sort of cover, you know, for the pot. This is going to be some sort of stoner hangout. But he says, no, it's going to be a premier gym. And he goes on to, and we've got him on Skype here in a second. We'll talk to Jim. But he says there's lots of scientific evidence that using marijuana before a workout helps you get into the zone, into the eye of the tiger mode, is what he says.
So he said, that's bogus. And then Muggs stepped up to the mic and said, no, it helps you hyper-focus. Sometimes Muggs said, I'll use it before I run or before I work. And it does help you exercise more efficiently, he says.
It makes me hyper-focus on Cheetos.
Right.
Cheetos and sleep, same.
The same thing. We're like, this is the opposite of what I would expect. But Muggs said it totally works for him. And we thought it might be interesting to talk to the man behind this new gym. Jim McAlpine, again, on Skype from San Francisco, joins us on the line right now if this works. Hey, Jim, are you there?
Hello.
All right. Hey, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Kevin B. Show.
I can see your face.
Right. Yeah, because we're talking on Skype. Right. Yeah. So congratulations on this Power Plant Gym. You're getting a lot of publicity with the announcement that you and former NFL star Ricky Williams are starting this new gym.
Thanks, man. And I want to take the opportunity to say that Ricky Williams and I are opening a new gym.
Right. Right. Yeah, we knew
that.
Called
the Power Plant Gym in San Francisco, California.
Right. We mentioned all of that in background before we brought you on.
Now, Ricky Williams, for those of you that don't remember, I think he was in the NFL for 5 or 6 seasons, and then he failed the drug test and said, you know what, I'm going to quit the NFL because I'd rather smoke weed.
He didn't fail the drug test, man.
I thought he did. I thought
he failed 3 drug tests.
But
hold
he
on,
was...
time to clean and jerk.
Oh. Oh, I see what's happening here. Okay.
Oh, it's a workout, man.
All right. That's the workout? I thought that's what you're supposed to do before you actually work out.
Same.
Okay.
Okay.
So Ricky Williams was a very talented athlete, and does he claim that it was the use of marijuana that helped him be as good as he was?
Yeah, man. It helps you focus.
Mm-hmm.
And
And
I can't think of what other things it does.
Focus.
For you.
Okay. Well, I mean, you did say
focus. You helps you focus.
Yeah, right. You did say
and.
Oh, no.
Oh, that dude just ate it.
Oh, no. Oh,
he totally dropped that weight on his throat.
That's
someone
not
else
oh,
no.
His throat.
Pick that up.
That's
now,
not
some
good.
People say pot reduces your
your
reaction time.
I see. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. I see.
But,
right.
That's a,
oh, oh, no.
Oh, that was on your foot, dude. Oh, you. Oh, that's. Can we get. Can someone pick up his toes? Put him on ice.
Oh,
put him
oh,
in a,
oh no.
Jim,
wrap
this doesn't
him
sound
in a towel.
It doesn't sound like a safe workout environment if people are walking around stoned.
Right?
Right. That's
no,
what
that's
saying.
Not good, though.
It would not work out here, man. It's a death trap.
Right. That's what we're saying.
Oh!
You're the one running.
My gym.
Yes, your gym.
Yeah.
Right. You say that weed gives you the eye of the tiger.
It does, man.
So you can really focus.
Yes. It gives you the eye of the tiger.
But I just said that,
but
right.
Unfortunately, it gives you the brain of a sloth.
Oh. Okay,
so the
well,
brain of a sloth and the eye of the tiger and the tongue of a giraffe, if you're into that kind of thing, man. Some people are, right? Who's with me?
Zero people.
Didn't I see a picture of you making out with a giraffe, dude?
Yes,
what
you
are you
did,
doing
Jim?
On our website?
Oh, I wanted to check you guys out before I sat down for this in-depth interview.
I wasn't making out with it, just for the record.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Do us a favor, Kevin. Let's revisit that moment with from yesterday. What do you think?
Brother,
yes,
not.
That would be a lot of fun
just,
for
seems
everybody.
Seems like just yesterday when that happened.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Gravity turns the ship around. Yeah. That was part I wrote down where I was like, that makes me uncomfortable because what if when that doesn't happen?
Look, well, gravity's a constant, Kevin. It'll happen.
But yeah,
what if
it doesn't
that
turn
out.
The ship around?
It's a slingshot.
Right.
It's,
but what if you keep going? There's a lot of what ifs.
Grav, no.
That's why I'm not doing it.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Of all the what ifs, gravity is not one of them.
Right.
Gravity is the one sure thing in this whole equation.
Could you get stuck in gravity, though, is what I'm asking.
Could you get stuck in
yes,
gravity?
Around the moon.
What does that even mean?
Oh. That was a moment with Kevin.
Kevin used to work for NASA too, which is the crazy part. Remember, they came to him when they needed those numbers figured out, and he and his girlfriends had to.
I think that was.
I think
up,
that was hidden figures.
Come up with
hidden
all that situation.
That was a, that was, a movie about.
Like, I'm not going to that bathroom.
Yeah, African American women
in the 60s.
And Kevin,
that wasn't Kevin
I don't
at
think
all,
Kevin
though.
Was there.
Kevin was there.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Also, I was looking for the word orbit, and also I was really angry at Ralph for making fun of me because I didn't understand why he was doing
so
it.
So the whole time you're saying gravity, you were thinking you were saying orbit.
Yes.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah. And then I was
telling
angry.
You guys, this Bubbles for Algernon thing is real.
Yeah, it is.
The great Jimmy Pardo joins us right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Reminder, Friday night, if you're not busy, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. Yeah. Kevin Smith and I will once again be taking the stage for Hollywood Babble On. We have a pretty good time, and we think you would enjoy it if you came along. You can go to improv.com to get more details and to get your tickets. It's only two babbles this week, this month of March. It'll be this weekend, and then at the end of the month on the 31st. So if you want to come out, here's your chance.
Let me break it down for you. Nobody cares.
Dancing with the Stars. We got the full list of celebrities dancing this season.
Very exciting.
Just announced it.
How close were you yesterday with your predictions?
We were spot on. But
all right.
But we were missing some big, big names that I did not know were going to be dancing until.
All right.
And now,
we saw the list.
A breaking news bulletin.
Thank you, Allie. Mm-hmm. We did mention Heather Morris from Glee.
Right.
She'll be dancing with Maxime Chermofsky.
Sure.
Chermofsky. You know, he's a dreamy.
He does good work.
But let's see who else we got right. We got right Normani Cordae.
From Fifth Harmony, if I remember yesterday.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Simone Biles.
Mm-hmm. Olympic gymnast.
Nick Vial.
The Bachelor.
Can't place him.
Erica Jayne.
Ah.
She is she a real housewife?
She's a real housewife. She'll be dancing with Gleb Savchenko.
Oh,
I love Gleb.
Gleb is
she's
not a name.
She's dancing with Gleb.
Gleb, G-L-E-B.
You heard me.
That's not a name.
Gleb Savchenko.
All right.
David Ross will be dancing.
Oh, David Ross.
Yes.
David Ross.
Yeah. He used to paint those pretty little trees. Remember?
Nope. That was
the happy Bob little Ross. Trees. These are happy little trees right here.
Bob Ross.
Why don't you and then these clouds. Make fluffy clouds.
He's not ex-Red Sox, is he?
I got nothing for you on David Ross. Nothing.
That's all right.
He's a Cub.
He's a Cub.
Was he on the Red Sox ever?
Yes. He was a Dodger.
So a lot of teams. Apparently very good.
Was he a Red Sox?
Yeah, just answer the question.
So he must be. What am I? Wikipedia.
He must be retired now, right?
I don't know anything.
Because first of all, spring training baseball. Is going on.
First of all, baseball. Second of all,
yes, he was a Red Sox.
There you go.
Listen to this, you guys. He's a former professional baseball catcher. He played for the Pirates, the Padres, the Reds, the Red Sox, the Braves, and the Cubs.
No one wanted him.
He must be good.
He apparently is good. He was on the Cubs team that just won the World Series. So apparently he
is
pretty
good. Oh, he's that old dude? Is it
the old dude? And he has retired. Yes, he is 39 years old.
I guess, yeah.
Don't you remember? He was like a guy who did something. He hit a ball or something that was good and everyone was happy.
Yes.
There was a moment in the game where everyone was like, oh, I can't believe the old guy hit that ball. It was good.
He'll be 40 later this month. And you're absolutely right, Ralph. And he was the guy at one point that they had on the they had a camera in the dugout. And he was giving advice to all the young kids who were playing in their first World Series and everything like that. And he was trying to get them to calm down.
Is it possible that we're spending too much time on David Cross or whatever this guy's name
Ross.
Is?
Ross. David Cross, I would know who that is.
Sure.
I wish Dorothy's brothers were here to see it.
I do too, but they're all dead now.
What happened? Dorothy? Oh. Heather Morris, I'm glad we covered that, right? Rashad Jennings.
Rashad
will be
Jennings.
Yes.
Know who that is.
He was the guy who won all that money on Jeopardy.
No, that was Ken.
Oh.
Why are you naming stars?
These
allegedly,
are stars.
And we don't know who any of these people are.
Rashad Jennings.
He's a running back. In the NFL.
And he was married to Mrs. Cosby, right?
No, that was Rashad something.
Felicia Rashad?
Felicia Rashad.
Sorry, Ralph, we couldn't help you there. Our bad.
I was at the net, I put it up, and then it just dropped in the sand. The ball just dropped right in the sand.
That's on us.
Bonner Bolton will be dead.
Now we're getting into the stars.
Bonner Bolton
must be a villain in the new Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
I believe Bonner Bolton is either a country western singer or a rodeo guy.
He is a professional bull rider, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
That's
Bonner Bolton.
Yeah,
Ralph knows his bull riders, I'll tell you that.
I knew a guy was wearing a cowboy hat and a belt buckle, so I knew I had a 50-50 shot.
He is shirtless in a lot of pictures.
He's also a model, it
says
here.
Bonner.
Oh!
Okay.
Ali will allow it.
Is that what just happened?
Wow.
Nancy Kerrigan, we talked about her yesterday, right?
Why?
Olympian, yes.
Yes. Chris Kattan. Remember Chris Kattan?
From Michael say no.
From Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Mungo.
He's Mango.
Remember?
What was Ali saying?
What are you doing?
He would always hit his side and then put his finger up and say, Michael say no. Was the best.
Well, now he's done the Dancing with the Stars.
Wow. He wasn't the best.
No. Remember when he pretended to be a monkey would eat an apple or something?
Eat, like, off of
yeah, that's
heads.
Not funny.
That was so good.
Mr. Pickles or something? What was his name?
Peepers?
Mr. Peepers? Mr. Jeepers? Whatever. His career's in the toilet. He's Dancing with the Stars.
It's a poorly named show right now.
Wait a minute. I haven't gotten the best ones yet.
Okay.
Mr. T, of course, we talked about yesterday.
He's in.
Yes. Mr. T is in. He'll be dancing with Kim Johnson. She's the good one. She's good.
Okay.
And lastly, I did not know she would be dancing, but she made the list. Charo, ladies and gentlemen. Charo.
Is still alive?
Charo is still alive. And she's going to be dancing her coochie-coochie off on Dancing with the Stars this
season.
She
has to be in her 70s.
Look, I don't. What do you want from me?
Charo is 65.
She looks terrible then.
She does not.
She does.
Are you kidding?
She looks older than that.
You're awful.
Well, that goes without saying.
Pretty little face.
In a bag.
So now we have all that. That's going on.
That's it. You missed yesterday that I'm also in a bag.
You're
in a
bag now?
There's two bags in the desert right now.
Oh, no.
Two bags in the desert.
And there could be three if you're not careful.
The mango chunk?
Yeah.
At least we get our own bags, though. At least we have to share a bag.
If you were slapping your side and putting your finger up on radio where no one could see your little gesture that you were doing over and over and over again.
Mango say no.
Today's celebrity birthday.
Will you guys watch this Dancing with the Stars? Is there anything in? I mean, just for Mr. T.
Mr. T.
How do I not watch? Fool,
I've been dancing with Kim Johnson. He's a fool. Don't watch me.
Mr. T only, though.
Yeah.
You're just going to watch Mr. T?
I mean...
You're going to turn your head away from the screen when other people are on?
That's the only part of that show that appeals to me.
Charo? Coochie Coochie?
You know what? No, just don't... Couldn't
oh,
care
coochie,
less.
Coochie.
Don't care.
What coochie, about...
Coochie.
Right.
Mango, what about Mango Say No?
Don't care about Mango Say No either. Sorry.
What if Chris Kattan eats an apple while he's dancing?
What about Corky Romano? Wasn't it Corky Romano? Night at the Roxbury, too. He would do the thing with his head. He had a lot of hits.
You have a You have a deep, deep abiding affection for Chris Kattan. A
lot of hits. Don't forget about Monkey Bone. Did you ever see that one?
What's Monkey Bone?
Oh, Monkey Bone. It's a movie with him and Brendan Fraser, and I think, like, Brendan Fraser was dead, and Chris Kattan was in his body. It was bad.
Everyone needs to stop.
That's a fever dream. Chip
is just making stuff up now.
That's just words.
She's just saying words.
Monkey Bone. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Daltrey of The Who is 73 years old today. There's Roger right there. Director Ron Howard is 63. Tim Daly, very talented actor, is 61. Zack Snyder turns 51 years old today. Javier Bardem is 48 years old. Mark Paul Gosselaar celebrates his 43rd birthday. Jensen Ackles is 39. Lupita Nyong'o turns 34. Kesha is 30 years old today. And Justin Bieber is 23, eh? Hey, Justin, eh? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Mr. Pardo, can you hear okay?
I can hear fine. Thank you for asking.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, comedian and podcaster, the great Jimmy Pardo, back
good
in
morning.
The studio on
good.
The Kevin Beachel on K-Rock. How are you?
Good morning. A little frazzled. I misread an email, so I was a tad tardy. I guess you guys had to play an extra song to cover for Daddy here.
We did. Don't call yourself Daddy, ever.
Was that uncomfortable?
Yes.
I really love Swingers, so I really... Listen, you guys are money. You guys know that. So sure. I'm adapting to it.
Wow. I'm glad you're keeping the lingo going, Jimmy. I appreciate that.
I was caught in traffic on the way here. So
what? Traffic in Southern California? Are you kidding me?
You know what I hate the most about traffic, right?
The cars?
It's not moving. Steve Winwood. Now listen.
Stupid.
That's a good classic rock joke.
It's a good joke for your grandparents. Enjoy it, folks. He's winning.
Jimmy is Jimmy's welcome anytime on the Kevin DeBeach Show, but we are particularly excited to see him now because he is here doing the Lord's work. Saturday is the big day on Jimmy Pardo's calendar because it is the 8th annual Pardcastathon fundraiser. And folks who have heard him on the show before know that he has raised a tremendous amount of money for Smile Train. Now, over $800,000, right, Jimmy?
If it's not over, it's close to it. It's in the ballpark of $800,000.
Wow. Yes, sir. $800,000.
Yes.
For little kids to get that cleft palate surgery, and you do it partially with this Pardcastathon fundraiser, which I want you to explain to people who may not be familiar with it, because it really is a super fun day.
What we do is it goes from noon to midnight, and it streams live at NeverNotFunny.com, and my Never Not Funny co-host Matt Belknap and I, along with Pat Francis, who hosts the Rock Solid podcast, the three of us host all 12 hours. And every half hour, we have a different guest on from music or television or movies, and they come on, and we run our mouths with them for a little while, and then mm-hmm. they leave, and then somebody else comes on the next half hour. And every hour, we do an update on how much money we've raised, because right at the front page of NeverNotFunny.com, there's a donate button. There's also a button to bid on auctions that are Never Not Funny centric, a guest or whatever, donate. Like Rachel Bloom has donated a signed Crazy Ex-Girlfriend script.
All right.
You can go to lunch with me when we're on the road, which will be an awkward lunch, certainly.
You know how to sell it.
You know, well, you want to sit across from a guy that paid money to be there with you? That's awkward and weird.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, Jimmy, because yeah. I was on the page because I was curious of what kinds of items were up for grabs this year. And you have a local lunch, too, with you and Matt, I think, at the Paquito Mas. And I assume it's the Paquito Mas we all know and love in Burbank, right?
It is not. It's actually the Sherman Oaks Paquito Mas.
Does that change things, Bean?
Well, change it up. Yeah, Bean won't go to that one.
Okay. I'm just wondering, Jimmy, since you're my closest friend in show business,
yes.
Would it be awkward if I were to bid on that for the lunch? Would you be okay with that, or is it weird now?
Let me just clarify. Bean will never do it, so let him bid. So,
yeah, I'm in
for sure.
I'm in.
All good.
Yeah.
Ask him how much he bid for a charity for an opportunity to meet Scarlett Johansson.
Hang on. I have to ask this question?
Yes.
Okay. Bean, how much did you bid for an opportunity to meet Scarlett Johansson?
Well, it's weird that you would bring that up out of the blue, Jimmy. Uh-huh. But it was a chance to walk the red carpet as Scarlett Johansson's date for the premiere of her film We Bought a Zoo, if I recall correctly. And I bid and paid $7,000.
And how was it?
Didn't go.
Didn't go.
And didn't go.
Boy, yes. You really have FU money, don't you? You really just have.
Really does.
Wow.
He said he was positive he would be outbid, so yes. He was doing it to sort of just be funny.
I thought it would be hilarious that I could go on the air and go, oh, I guess I'm dating Scarlett Johansson and you are not, because I was the leading bidder for a while. And I thought, well, surely somebody. I mean, it was like 3 hours left in the auction when I put the bid in. And in a million years, I never thought it would just sit there and that I would win it.
So I'm saying you're safe. That's what I'm saying is you're safe.
Well, listen, $7,000 is going to win this thing. I can guarantee that.
Well, it was up to $250 yesterday when I looked at it. I thought, well, I might do that. That might be fun.
You know, I think last year's, I think the lunch with Matt and I went for about $1,500 last year. So
well,
hopefully.
Oh, well, that's outrageous.
You're out?
Yeah,
I don't
that's
blame
ridiculous.
You. Yeah, you can't stay home for that kind of money.
What's your stamina level in hour 8, 9, 10, 11 of this thing? Are you all adrenaline? All day long, Jimmy?
Yes. You know, we used to go overnight with this thing when it was 6P to 6A. That was a disaster.
Oh,
about
my God.
Hour 7, 8, 9.
Sure.
But now it's, you know, everybody's up from noon to midnight anyway. So, you know, that's
But everybody's not talking nonstop for 12 hours, though.
Yeah, but, you know, then that's when Matt and Pat pick up, you know, they'll, you know, if I'm waning a little bit, they'll pick up the slack. If they are, I'll do it.
You ever just nod off?
Oh, I've slept during many interviews, yeah. Oh, you kidding me? When Andy Richter comes on, snooze time.
Andy.
Don't aw me. He's
I
my
love
friend.
Andy.
I picked the one name I knew was safe, by the way. Because if he's listening, and trust me, he's listening. He just got a Google alert. Boy, he's so not that guy, by the way. I picked the name that was safe. If I would have picked any other name, it would have been like, hey, dude, that wasn't fair. You said you're bored during my interview.
Some of Jimmy's past guests on the Parcastathon, by the way, have included Patton Oswalt, Zach Galifianakis, Amy Poehler, Weird Al, Chris Hardwick, Bob Saget, Conan O'Brien, the boss man himself stops by, Sarah Silverman. I mean, you don't announce ahead of time who's going to be there, right? It's a surprise every 30 minutes when the door opens.
Yeah, it is, although this year we've made some agreement with the AV Club where I guess it might be 8 a.m. I don't remember what time it's happening. They're releasing, I think, 15 of the names.
Oh. Okay.
So I guess I could sneak some of those out. I'll tell you what, in the past, people that have been very helpful and may be coming back this year.
Right.
That may is in, they're coming back.
Okay.
I understand Sarah Silverman may be there. John Hamm may be there.
Great.
The aforementioned Andy Richter may be there.
Great.
The aforementioned Rachel Bloom will be there.
Great.
Who else? We have Randall Park and Chelsea Crisp from Fresh Off the Boat will be there.
Excellent.
So we've got some great people coming by.
Yeah.
All right.
It's tough to pry those names out of you. You're really good at keeping those secrets.
I wasn't sure when this thing gets released. I may have just broken some sort of contract. But then I thought it's local. They're not going to hear this in Chicago The Onion is based. and then I've also... In addition, all the great comics that help us every year, like Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins and you know, guys along the – Paul Gilmartin and guys along those lines.
You have the funnest friends, by the way, Jimmy. NeverNotFunny.com is where you can
– Didn't that come off like a slam? We all looked at each other like,
yeah.
That was
no,
an insult.
No, I meant it. Seriously, those names that you're mentioning, people like Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins, those are the people we admire so much and would love to hang out with. I mean, I'm impressed by the Rolodex you're working.
There's a creepy factor that comes with everything that Bean says.
Not at all. Sincere compliment.
Did you bid on anything yet? You're on the page. Did you bid while we were talking?
No, not okay. yet. Right. NeverNotFunny.com. By the way, Jimmy had a French fan on Twitter last night who says he's flying over for this event.
Wow. He's flying from France.
France to be in the audience.
Is it? Wow. Did he say it's 5,700 miles? Is that what he said?
Yes, that's an unbelievable compliment. And also, you should get extra security.
Yeah, that guy's going to bid on a couple of things, right?
I would imagine so.
Because he's not paid enough already to fly 5,700 miles.
I mean, right? You got to be
that's
doing okay.
Insane.
How many francs is that?
That's a great question. Our guest is Jimmy Pardo. We'll take a quick break, come back with more right after this on K-Rock. Dolph Lundgren joins us in studio in the 9 o'clock hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. You ever cross paths with Dolph in your long, illustrious show business career, Jimmy Pardo?
I could answer that. Nope.
You don't know that.
There's no way.
Wrong. He came on Conan, so I saw him there. And I will wait in the parking lot for him today. So
you're going to kick his ass, are you, Jimmy?
It's time. I'm tired of his nonsense.
And, I don't believe you.
You know, him handsome and pleasant. I'm not going to tolerate that.
Smart.
Right?
Yeah. And by the way, I would imagine, look, no one would blame you because how many roles have you lost out of to Dolph Lundgren? You guys
four.
Are always up for the same stuff.
Four? I know exactly. No, just the four. Okay. Specifically. I was up for the that role in Rocky IV.
Rocky IV, okay. And,
you were Drago? You were up for that role?
I was outstanding as Drago.
Thank you for acknowledging it. Others are not as quick to admit it like you guys. I couldn't even pull the character name. That's how grateful I am you guys were able to do that for me.
Three more movies, you owe us.
You can suck it. You would have been an outstanding He-Man in the Masters of the Universe film. That's another one you lost
out
to.
What else did I lose out to?
You could have been Universal Soldier.
Oh, yeah, that was actually not a bad movie, right?
That was Dolph Lundgren as well, the Universal Soldier. And, of course, Kindergarten Cop 2 was the other one you were hoping for, and you didn't get to start.
Boy, oh, boy, was that heartbreaking. It was so heartbreaking. Because whenever you have a chance to be part of a series like that.
Sure.
You
don't want to back that up.
Right.
Jimmy, by the way, is in town this weekend. He's going to be at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. That is the site of the 8th Annual Podcastathon Fundraiser, noon till midnight. You can watch it at nevernotfunny.com, benefiting Smile Train. Can people still come down and be in the audience as well, or is that all sold out?
I think, you know, it's sold out, but you know what? If you're wandering around the media center down there at Burbank and you want to stop by Flappers, why don't you come over and say hello?
Because people will not stay for the whole time. I'm sure there'll be a churn of the audience. Seats will open up.
There has not been in the past, but maybe
really?
This time there will be.
Wow.
People sit there from noon to midnight.
They do, and in the past, it's been at a theater, which was great, the Acme Theater, which, but there's no food. And people would still stay. Now there's food at Flappers, so they're going to be having some breakfast, lunch, dinner, maybe a snack.
All right. That sounds good. Now you're having some throat issues here. You're almost losing your voice. That seems not perfect.
Seems like bad timing.
Considering you're going to do a 12-hour show this weekend.
I'm hoping that it comes back by Saturday, but the doctors give me what they call steroids, so I'm going to be okay. I'm gonna,
just well, then you're going to be fine against Dolph Lundgren then.
Oh, my God, I'll take an extra pill then.
Right?
That's not a bad idea. I wasn't thinking of the longer in
I gargle vodka. That's my trick.
So when your throat's bad, you gargle vodka.
Yeah, it kills the germs, I tell people.
Kevin also does that when his throat is fine, Jimmy.
Right. But I'm just saying, and specifically when it comes to your throat, I imagine as a comedian you have whatever tricks you have to try and make it work.
Yeah, I'm sober. It'll be, was it 99? So it'll be.
So eight? That's a bad suggestion.
Well, here's
what vodka.
I don't
not necessarily, because here's what I do.
Sorry
Kevin.
About that. Okay.
I've been sober a long time, but I only drank because I was bored out of my mind on the road. I think I could still drink today. In fact, what I do, like if I'm at a concert or a ball game, I'll take, like if somebody has a beer, I'll take that and I'll swish it around my mouth and then I'll spit it out. So I can do that. And I do that about 300 times a day. So I know where you're coming from with this gargle. But I'm okay. I can handle it.
I wanted to ask you, Mr. Pardo, your remaining time here, just because I value your opinion as a comedian and also as a student of comedy and as a guy who admires so many other comedians. Forgive me if you've been asked this a million times, but a lot of people were really interested in the Rolling Stone magazine list. The 50 best stand-ups of all time that came out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
The day it came out, we had Bill Burr on the show.
Seems high.
He was number 17 on that list.
Yeah.
Which I thought sounds about right to me, because I think Bill Burr's great.
I think he's great, agreed, too. But you think 17 of all time?
Yeah, I mean,
all time.
That's a tough list to make, I think.
I mean, look.
Where's Brian Regan? Where's Richard Lewis? Not on that list. Where's
Ellen
DeGeneres?
Are they not on that list?
They're not.
See, so you're saying you would have come up with a very different list, it sounds like.
I would have had three other people on there. And I'm not saying Bill was a bad example. Bill's great. I think he's one of the best working today. There's no question in my mind.
Agreed.
17 of all time seems high to me when you're not including Richard Lewis, who is a hero to people. He is an inspiration to people.
See, that's...
Ellen, same thing. Regan.
That's an interesting point.
Who would you put at number one?
Well, who would I put at number one? Yeah. I mean, listen, Richard Lewis is
number one of all time.
He'd be up there for me.
Okay,
I think it's weird not to include Johnny Carson. If you're going to include Eddie Murphy, you know, in stand-up comedy, I don't think Eddie Murphy is really known for his stand-up. He had two specials, and which now we're okay. Okay. Unless he's listening, and I thought they were dynamite. And I love to work on Santa Monica Boulevard.
I don't think most people that I have seen react to this list, and it's a very subjective list, and your mileage may vary, but most people don't have much of a problem with Richard Pryor and George Carlin and Bruce and people like that being near the very near the top.
I don't either. I think that Richard Lewis should be up there. I think Robert Klein should be higher. You know, Seinfeld's what, number 7 or something on there?
Yes, number 7, exactly, yes.
Wow.
Just ahead of Bill Cosby, by the way.
He's a good guy, too. So, listen, it's a lot of good people.
Chappelle in the top 10, how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I think that seems, again, when you don't have these other people on there, the numbers...
So you throw the whole list out just because of its obvious omissions in your mind.
I think the list did exactly what they wanted to do is we're all talking about it, and people go and click on it, and Rolling Stone wins. That's what I think.
And I'll also tell you that I couldn't be any comedian and be happy with being ahead of Albert Brooks either.
That's another one. I mean, right? I mean, and then who? There's somebody
who's more genius than Albert Brooks.
Well, according to that thing, Eddie Murphy. So,
yeah, right.
But there's somebody like number 48 or something who I think it should be way higher.
Well, I hope it's not number 48 because that's Margaret Cho.
Margaret's a nice lady. Now, listen. who's around there, then? There's somebody. 46, is it?
Here we go. Wanda Sykes, Aziz Ansari, Margaret Cho, Elaine Boozler,
there
Reggie Watts.
There we go. Elaine Boozler. Reggie Watts is a friend. And I would feel hoping you'd say the same if I was that number. If you don't have a – I keep going to the same three. But Ellen's not on there and Reggie? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
In the top 50. Yeah,
in the top 50 of all time.
All right. Yeah. I will accept your scorn, Jimmy Pardo. I'm
underscoring of all time. I hate to interrupt you there, but it's not – I mean, there's a lot of zeitgeist sort of picks on that list. And I'm about to get a zillion emails from people telling me to go screw myself.
Do you wonder sometimes, and look, every list is frozen in time with what's going on in the world, but do you wonder, like Kevin Hart, for instance, is a guy who's number 18 on this list, and he's ahead of Bob Newhart, Don Rickles, and Rodney Dangerfield, Red Fox, people like that. Do you think it's because he is a superstar right now and can play a stadium, therefore he gets on a list a little higher than maybe he would be if we were doing this in 10 years?
I think so, yes. I think one of the names – like Don Rickles. Don would be
top
5.
Top 10, for sure.
I said 5.
Okay.
I mean, he did say 5.
Really
I did say 5.
Jimmy,
why would you jump in with a lower number?
I apologize.
First of all, I will accept your apology.
Okay.
Carrot
no
top.
One, no,
carrot
one plays, top? No one plays 17. Indignant better than Jimmy Pardo, by the way. Jimmy is offended, and he wants you to know it. That's what I love about
and
him.
And he's never offended, which is odd.
But that's the other thing. I'm very offended, yet never. although I can't imagine the backpedaling I'm going to be doing after this interview. I'm getting a phone call from Reggie Watts synthesizer. I don't know what's going to happen.
All right. I'm sad to say, Mr. Pryor, we're almost out of time.
Are we done?
The good news is that means you get to run back home and go right back to bed, at least, and try to feel better. And you're going to be on the Conan show tonight with the beautiful Mandy Moore, I hear.
I believe some musical outfit will be on after me. So,
Are you a This Is Us fan? I know how much you love the TV. Are you watching This Is Us?
I'm not, but everybody in the world tells me I'm supposed to be.
It's the best.
Jimmy,
it's
so you good. Would Am love
I?
It.
I would, right?
Yeah.
It's so great, and she's so great on it, too.
I
watch all
you got
of
homework.
It
you
tonight.
Got homework between now and your appearance tonight, my friend.
Oh, that seems like a lot to do. A lot to do.
Wow,
that's a much ado about nothing.
That does seem like a lot to do.
That's a lot to do. Let's just go have a pastrami. All right,
Before you go, one more plug for Saturday if you want people to participate.
Parkcastathon is at nevernotfunny.com. It goes from noon to midnight. It streams live. You get to watch all these people come by. As I mentioned, John Hamm, Sarah Silverman, Scott Arkham, Paul F. Tompkins, Andy Richter, and 20 others.
Wow.
There's 27 guests. And you could donate on nevernotfunny.com to Smile Train. You could bid on auctions. We're doing it for a great cause, and it's a great organization. I'm proud to be a part of them.
It really is, and it's a wonderful event. I look forward to it every year. Allie, I know you do as well. So check it out on Saturday. Mr. Pardo, we'll talk again soon. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Originally scheduled for this time on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to give away some tickets to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're coming to Staples Center starting Tuesday night. I think they're doing 3 dates next week, and we're giving away tickets to all 3 throughout the week here on K-Rock. And every time you win, you qualify for Wheels Up 2017 Destination Number 5, which is the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. If we ever get telephones working again at the radio station, we'll start giving away those tickets again. Hopefully that'll be soon.
They've been out for 24 hours now. Good.
They really have.
Yeah, it's good.
And that is a little bit shocking in 2017, isn't it? I mean, we're in business. It is janky.
It's janky.
All right. I may have to save this and do this as a Bean makes his guess one day, but I came across a list the other day of America's least favorite foods. Mm. And
least favorite
foods. And some of the ones on there include oysters, Brussels sprouts, tofu.
Brussels sprouts.
But one of them that is in the news a lot lately that I wanted to bring up, I don't know how you guys feel. I don't know that we've ever talked about it on the show. Where are you on mayonnaise?
I smell like it.
You're a white person.
Of course you do. All white people do.
I'm fine with it.
You're not the mayonnaise hater like so many are?
No, I'm fine with it.
You know, it's so funny. Like our friend Andrew Siciliano, anytime anyone tweets at him about accusing him of hating their team, he always responds with, I only hate one thing in the world, and it's mayonnaise. And there are a lot of people who really, really hate mayonnaise. And I thought about Andrew and I thought about other people like that when I saw two stories in the news. One is, and this is hot on the heels of the pineapple on pizza debate that we had last week here on the show.
Almost tore us apart.
Yeah.
A Twitter list, and this appears to be legitimate. This is a Twitter user whose name is Fox152. He tweeted a photo of pizza with peas and mayonnaise on it.
Ooh.
Oh.
And he wrote these words, peas and mayonnaise pizza, yes please. He's from Albany, Georgia. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No.
Do you think it's a thing?
No.
No.
That's bullshit.
It's not a combination that I would have thought of, and I want more information on how he got this. Is this something that he asked somebody to make?
Why would you?
It's a pizza. It's in a restaurant, and you can see everything that's on a table in a pizza place. So it looks like that's something that they may offer.
Maybe it's a regional thing.
Maybe it is. So
get this week's dog out of here.
There are a lot of reactions like, hey, while you're at it, put bleach on it. So a lot of people were not necessarily down with peas and mayonnaise. Okay, so that's thing one. And this is really wigging out our listeners who feel the way about mayonnaise that Andrew Siciliano does. Here's thing two. Two mayonnaise-based restaurants are set to open in Japan in the coming months to celebrate the creamy dip in all its glory. By the way, I ate at a hamburger place the other day here in New Orleans that had a mayonnaise bar. Where you go, and they had like 10 different kinds of mayonnaise that
like
you could put.
Like spicy mayo.
Yes.
That makes sense.
A mayonnaise bar.
Sure.
These are apparently being run by Kewpie, which is a 92-year-old Japanese mayonnaise brand that is widely considered to be superior. The menu will apparently carry dishes like mayonnaise marinated chicken, omelets, egg mayonnaise sandwiches, and even a mayonnaise-based custard-like dessert.
That sounds awful.
Awful.
Yummy.
It's funny, by the way, because both of you guys were, when
that
we started,
terrible.
We're like, yeah, I'm fine with mayonnaise.
In tuna fish, chicken salad, that's it. Maybe you slap some on a sandwich,
on a
BLT.
You add a small amount of mayonnaise to something else that's great.
Right.
Yeah, it is weird to see mayonnaise kind of being the centerpiece of these dishes, right? Kewpie says that prices will range from about $3.50 for a small mayonnaise dessert to $14 for the chicken chop. I don't know what that is. Kewpie tastes notably different from the mayonnaise that we're familiar with here in America. Its ingredients include egg yolks, vegetable oil, apple or rice vinegar, giving it a little sweeter taste compared to the competition.
So like a Miracle Whip.
You know, I've never really been able to tell a lot of difference between mayonnaise and Miracle Whip.
Oh, really?
I know that for some people they are, some people they're very, I mean, I
have an uneducated palate, my friend.
I'm really kind of fine with either, but is that what the Miracle Whip is? Is more like this?
Yeah, I think so.
A little bit of a sweeter taste?
Sure.
If Kewpie's mayo cafes are not enough, the company also have a mayonnaise museum.
Okay.
Oh, called the Mayo Terrace, including a giant wooden replica of its iconic squeeze bottle. So apparently the Japanese are really into their mayonnaise.
Love mayo.
Also at the Mayo Clinic.
Very
So we got that
no,
going yeah,
No, the Mayo what? Clinic is unrelated.
Oh.
And one final mayonnaise tip, and I thought this was interesting. The sauce was originally created by the French to cover up the taste of rotten flesh, vegetables, or spoiled fish. That's why mayonnaise was invented, because they wanted to put it on things that smelled bad.
Ugh.
Who's hungry?
Despite mayonnaise's unpopularity with some, U.S. consumers now buy more than $2 billion worth of it, as compared to only $800 million a year worth of ketchup. So apparently
mayonnaise
is kicking ketchup's ass. So I think we all learned a little something here today.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Hey!
Nice chip.
No and no.
Nice alley-oop.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Actor Dolph Lundgren is in a new film.
Oh!
He'll be joining us at 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I love D-Lo.
No one calls him D-Lo. Nobody calls him D-Lo.
No one calls him D-Lo either.
I think we're going D-Lon. He's one of my favorites.
He'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Very excited. Looking forward to that as well. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
Forget Drago, one of the great all-time movie villains. Mm-hmm. He was also He-Man, Master of the Goddamn Universe.
He sure was.
And he was the Punisher.
Yes.
Yes.
And now, he's a demon hunter.
Right.
He's the best. Love him so much. I usually don't geek out, but I'm geeking out today. I brought things to get signed and stuff and everything. I'm good to go.
Wow, you rarely do that.
I never bother with the celebrities. Don't really care, one way or the other. They're very nice people, but we're all here to do a job. But Dolph Lundgren, we're talking icon.
Yeah.
And so are you going to be in here during the interview as well?
I don't think I can. I don't think I'd be able to speak. I'm just going, you're great. I would just say that to him. That's all I would say.
Who would say that
to
someone?
Like a mental case, I would say. That's I would be absurd. Talking like a nut bar.
Are you going to try to fight him? Because that would be a great story.
Yes, that's what I just, yeah. I love him so much, I'm going to try to fight him.
Right, but then you would always have the story about how you kicked Dolph Lundgren's ass.
He likes, never mind.
Just ask him.
Stop that.
And you people have never dipped your french fries in mayonnaise?
I haven't. What was called fry sauce in Utah, which was, it's the best thing I've ever had. But it's mayonnaise and ketchup mixed together.
Oh, no.
And
it's perfection. Oh, no.
Fry sauce is amazing.
But you dip fries in mayonnaise.
No, that's disgusting.
No,
Instead of like ketchup or something, you just dip it in mayonnaise.
No.
That's I'm an gross. American.
Now, I've done that with my fries in ranch dressing. That's something I've done.
Stop saying things that aren't mayonnaise. I'm talking about dipping french fries in mayonnaise.
I've done it in like Thousand Island.
Stop naming things that are not mayonnaise.
I put it in barbecue sauce.
Once again, you are referring to something that is not what I'm
like,
talking about.
Sweet and sour.
Mustard, Dave says.
Once again, these are all things. I'll take things that aren't mayonnaise for 500, Alex.
By the way, Christine is very close to throwing up with all this mayo talk. It really is hitting her stomach hard.
Okay.
I just say a lot of people have a visceral gut reaction to hearing.
Well, they don't know what they're missing. The Dutch do that. The Dutch are big on dipping your french fries in mayonnaise.
Are they?
Yeah, it's a big thing for them.
How would you know that, Ralph?
That is an odd thing to know.
Because I'm a man of the world, Bean. That's how I know it.
Fry sauce is so good, though.
Stop talking. Hey, you and I have a date with Kevin Smith Friday night.
No.
America. We're doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose Friday night at 10 p.m. We're doing the late show. We have a blast, and I think you will, too, if you come out and see us. Go to improv.com to get more information and to buy your tickets there. Just two shows in March, this one and then the end of the month on the 31st, I believe it is. So come on out and check us out.
No.
You'll have a good time.
Oh, dear God, no!
Speaking of comedy and comedy clubs, it's getting dark out there, people. It's getting mean. It's getting vicious. We're in a mess of trouble. We're in a heap of a mess of a trouble.
We're in a heap of a mess of a trouble.
Yes. Now, comedians are getting attacked on stage.
Oh, no.
For making Donald Trump jokes. Happened at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, California this week. I don't know if you know a comedian named John Caparulo. John Caparulo, he was on the Chelsea Show a bunch. Funny guy. Good comedian. He was making a joke about Trump when he got attacked by two women in the front. A drink was thrown at him. A glass.
Oh, God.
Thrown at him on stage. There's a video of it. Here's the audio. You'll hear the joke, which is pretty innocuous. And then you'll hear the reaction, and then you'll hear him get attacked. Like full blown. That chucked hard, this glass, right at him. Luckily, kind of hit him in the stomach versus the head, which could have been a lot worse. But here's what actually happened.
Like the Washington Monument. I'm like, somebody got paid to design that? It's a pencil. I mean, it's just a big red pencil. Some people think it looks like a, but I think they're saving that design for Trump's monument. No, you stupid, all right?
Here the woman goes off here.
What are you, his mom? Get the out of here. Oh, God, am I the first one to dislike Trump? Oh, my God, I must have invented disliking Donald Trump. Hey, on your way out, remember, you can my anytime you want, all right? Break up my show, lady. You know what? You come up here and do this, and I'm going to go.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where he got the glass hurled at him.
That hurt a little bit. All right, I'll admit that that hurt.
Yeah.
But is anyone using the glass as any type of weapon?
Good thing that didn't happen in Boston. I don't know if you heard about Boston.
I thought you guys would let that slide this time.
I couldn't wait.
It was a glass. I think I'd start using plastic.
So that's not the appropriate reaction to a joke you don't like.
No, it's not. I can't imagine.
Look, whoever's president, half of the country hates them. That's always true.
But more importantly, if you're in a comedy club and you don't like somebody's joke or whatever, just wait 5 minutes.
Or leave.
There'll be a new comedian or there'll be a new joke next. Or sure. Yeah, or leave, which they did. But you don't chuck a glass at the guy. He could have been seriously hurt. Anyway, strange times, right? The video's on TMZ.com if you want to check it out. But it was really disturbing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Justin Bieber's 23. If you want to throw a glass at Justin Bieber, wouldn't be the worst thing.
That's not what we're saying.
We're not saying that?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Kesha's 30. Lupita Nyong'o. Where is Kesha today? What's going on with her?
I don't know.
Last I remember her, she was suing
Dr. Luke.
Luke Robitaille.
Nope.
Or something. Yeah.
Nope.
Luke Robitaille pretended to be a doctor.
No.
And then he wasn't a doctor.
No.
He did some plastic surgery on her.
I think she's in some sort of contract dispute with
butt implants came out or
being
something.
Being allowed to release music, I think.
Said, I don't know. I'm a hockey player. Or I should not have been doing a medical science on you.
Luke Robitaille Hall of Fame, Los Angeles King, had nothing to do with Kesha.
I'll have to agree to disagree on this one. Lupita Nyong'o is 34.
Ow.
What?
Oh,
what just happened?
How?
I mean, that was
what sad. Happened?
Did someone throw a glass at you?
Yes, that's what happened. Somebody threw a glass.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just hit the microphone reaching for the bell. That's all. I was over here with my hand ready to hit the button for Roger Daltrey's birthday, and then he went to Lupita, so I had to move my hand very quickly past the mic to get over to where the bell was.
Do you need some kind of help? Do we need ambulance or anything?
We're good now.
Do you have one of those camouflage mics where you can't really see where it is because it blends in with its surroundings?
I misjudged.
Those chameleon mics?
I misjudged the distance. My bad. That one's on me.
The mic's what's in front of your face. How do you not know where the distance it is?
Well, it's new that it's in front of his face.
Guys,
it's never happened before.
It was an error. I'm sorry. It was not a success.
I feel like it was.
I'm just going to go now.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Today was a big day for Dancing with the Stars fans. Good Morning America rolled out the announcement of the full cast list of stars, in quotes, stars, air quotes, for season 24. Season 24, you guys.
Yep.
This might be an outstanding time to remind.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
Longtime Kevin B. listeners that we did have the producers, I believe, of Dancing with the Stars on ahead of season one. And when they explained that the show was going to be celebrities ballroom dancing, we told them they were wasting our time and America's time and that it would never last.
We literally told them it would never work.
I believe we told them that we would be stunned if the first season aired to completion, that they were going to pull it after two episodes.
And now we're at season what?
Season 24.
Okay.
Is where we're at.
All right.
And Ralph had great intel on the showbiz beat a couple of days ago when he told us some of the rumors of who was going to be appearing on the show. And it turned out that he was right about virtually everybody. But the name that jumped out at us that we are so excited about is 64-year-old former wrestler, commercial spokesperson, and actor, the great Mr. T, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. T. is going to be dancing on Dancing with the Stars. Now, we still have no phones here at K-Rock, but I understand we have been able to Skype in with the great Mr. T, and he joins us on K-Rock right now.
I believe so.
Mr. T?
What do you mean, former fool?
How? I'm sorry, say again?
What do you mean, former?
Oh, former!
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for explaining things to the sucker.
I'm sorry. I thought you said FOMO. I thought we were getting into the fear of missing out. I was confused by that for a second.
Yeah, because I talk about FOMO a lot.
Former, I said you were a former wrestler. That's true, isn't it?
I thought you meant former everything. Former actor.
No,
former
no, no,
spokesperson.
No, no.
I'm not former.
No.
I'm present.
Yes, you are. You're Mr. T.
I am Mr. T, fool.
I feel like that was in the setup.
I think everyone knows who it was you're going to. All right. And then I did this voice. Everybody said, oh, that's Mr. T's voice.
So, Mr. T, we're excited to see you on Dancing with the Stars. How are you feeling about it now that the news is out there?
Mr. T?
Shut up, fool.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm going to win. My prediction? Dance.
All right. Now you're 64 years old, and you're going to be competing against other celebrities who are as young as 19. Simone Biles is 19 years old. Don't you think that gives them a real advantage?
I'm going to break Simone Biles. I'm going to say, come here, woman. I bet you dream of a real man at night. Come here. Let me rub my gold chains all over your forehead.
God.
Shut up, woman.
Sorry. Did you ever watch the show before?
I do watch the show, yeah. I watched it when Rick Perry was on.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I said, look at that old fool.
That's
I hope someday he's in the government again.
I hope he gets a cabinet position as a result of this.
Now he's the secretary of something.
I think he is. I think you're right about that, Mr. T.
Now, Mr.
No, I am fool.
Are you a good dancer?
I'm a great dancer.
Okay.
Because all that time I spent in the ring with Rocky Balboa, I destroyed him with my fancy footwork, and I will destroy Charo with the same.
Well, she's like 75 years old, though. You don't need to necessarily destroy her, do
I'm
you?
Snap her hips.
Oh, no, Mr. T. Wow.
I'm going to use her like a wishbone. Make a wish and just separate those legs.
Oh, no.
You hear a crack. Coochie-coochie crack.
Wow.
And then I'm going to get Kathleen.
Yes?
Yes, Mr. T. You're going to get Kathleen?
Kathleen Harrigan, uh-huh. that ice skating lady.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah,
Nancy
Kathleen Kerrigan. Harrigan.
it's Nancy Kerrigan.
Kathleen Harrigan, I said that.
All right, okay. Figure skater.
I'm going to get her, and I'm gonna smash her knee with a lead pipe.
Oh, no.
That's already happened. Yeah.
That already happened.
Yeah. Tony Harding.
Someone stole my idea.
Yeah, that would be terrible memory.
No, it was not Charo, no.
Tonya Harding.
On your tarding.
Mr. T, you're going to be great on this show.
I'm looking forward to it, Bevan. I hope you and Keen will be watching.
Yeah, we will. Acting legend Dolph Lundgren joins us in studio in about 25 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. And let me, yes, Ralph, I know we're very excited.
So excited.
And let me just look ahead toward tomorrow's Kevin Bean Show just briefly, because we have a big, big, big deal tomorrow at around 7:20 or so. It's going to be the world premiere of the first single from the supergroup Dream Car. So this is our friend Davey from AFI and the boys from No Doubt, Tom, Tony, and Adrian. They have gotten together and have created a group called Dream Car. We have no idea what it's going to sound like, but we're very excited.
That's not a... No, I think that's just
that's
the name of the
that's
band.
That's just the name of the band. Right? Just the name of the band.
Oh, I thought that was pretty cool.
No. Around 7:15 tomorrow morning, all four members of the band in studio and will be world premiering their first ever single, Dream Car, tomorrow right here on K-Rock.
All right, time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Who's up for it?
I think the phones are broken, so
it's Wednesday.
To call any animals, sadly.
We've been using Skype, and it's been working quite well.
But Skype has a strict no animal policy.
I don't believe that's
that
true.
That is their CEO hurt by that's a zookeeper.
It's just not true.
So if you knew how many times, Ralph, I have skyped with my dogs, you would know that it is not true.
Oh my God. See?
And don't
what I'm up against.
And don't you believe that 100%?
Sure.
Because it's real.
Yep. Well, of course it's real, because Linus can see me, and I can see him, and Baruch and I can see each other, so don't break
throw
things,
something
right?
out a window. I got to break a window now.
All right. What's on the wheel that potentially
on,
could land
hold,
on here?
Please. You Skype your animals.
Okay. Well, sure. Lots
if we
of
ever
people
get phones
do
back on this station, we should
right?
do a call in where people Skype with their animals.
If that ever works, we will. All right. Here's what's on the wheel. April, the live streaming pregnant giraffe.
Oh, we were talking about April earlier today. It's a very, very big story right now.
Are there any hooves hanging out yet?
Not yet.
Oh, boy.
The Flock Stars, the all-chicken band that is awesome.
All right. Either land on that or take it off the
right.
rails.
The goat in love with a UPS driver.
Aww.
These are all real stories, by the
sweet.
Way. The drunk hedgehog with a yogurt bottle on his head.
Hold on.
a yogurt bottle on his head?
Yes.
I think it was a container, really, wasn't it? More of a like a does cup yogurt, or something?
Does yogurt come in bottles?
I don't believe so.
I don't either.
And yet that's the headline. So we,
all right.
If it lands on that, we can ask.
You
that
say
would
so.
Be great. Flocko, I'm sorry, Rocco, the beer-drinking, football-watching parrot.
Oh, he sounds like a lot of fun.
The notorious potbelly pig named Piggy Smalls.
Come Piggy on, Piggy Smalls.
And Joku, the patriotic chicken.
Oh, Joku's the one that can play like the Star Spangled Banner on a piano.
Mm-hmm. It's time for the wheel. Let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time
I gotta tell you, Allie, I'm like you and I love Piggy Smalls, but I think I'm hoping it lands on April just because we don't know how long she's gonna be pregnant.
Well,
you know, she's very in the news right now.
True. Be quite a get.
Oh, it is April. The live streaming pregnant giraffe.
April is 15 and a half months pregnant. She is way overdue to have her calf. She is at the Animal Adventure Park in Harpersville, New York right now. Mm-hmm. And I have the site up right now.
Of course you do.
125,009 people currently watching the live stream. Again, 125,009 people. Apparently, Kevin, you can just bring this up on the control board there, and apparently it is two-way communication. We can talk to April. She can talk to us.
Oh, the live webcam?
Let's see if we can get this webcam up on the air, if that's possible.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Is this April?
Yes, this is April, the giraffe.
Hi, April.
Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean. We're calling you from a radio station in Los Angeles.
Kevin?
Yes, Kevin and Bean.
Well, Kevin.
Yes.
Oh, nice to hear from you after all this time.
Oh, Kevin.
I see what's happening here.
Okay.
I'm surprised you haven't checked in. You've had, I don't know, 15 and a half months to check in with me, and now you want to talk.
I'm not comfortable with where this is going.
Oh, I think we are. Kevin, yes. Why don't you tell us what happened with you and a giraffe? Could have been April. Apparently was.
I put some giraffe food in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
And then a giraffe, I'm not positive it was April, took the food out of my mouth. Mm-hmm.
And there's pictures of it.
There's pictures of it.
Oh, yeah. We put pictures up on the Kevin Bean social media, and I think there's two-way tongue going on is how it looks to me. How do you remember it, April?
Is that your story? Is that what you're going to stick with?
I mean, that's what happened.
Oh, I put food in my mouth.
Right.
And some giraffe, thank you. Thanks
that's
for
just
not
rude.
Knowing my name.
It's really rude.
Out of my mouth. That was the beginning, yes.
Oh no.
But a lot more happened than that.
I don't remember anything else. I mean, I remember feeding you or a giraffe and then leaving.
You fed me, okay?
Oh, no.
You fed me.
April.
You remember under the banyan tree?
I do not like where this is going.
Down there, just to the left of the enclosure, does that ring a bell?
No, I'm not a fan of this at all.
You carving Kevin and April into a tree?
Oh, that's romantic.
Yes, it was romantic, yes. I thought maybe that was the beginning of something, and then nothing.
Remember
then radio silence.
Oh, no.
And now suddenly, when I'm about to have some hooves drop out, now all of a sudden he's interested. Oh, let me call her, see what's up, see what's going on. Hey, you up? Hey. Hey, what's going on? Hey. You mad, bro? Now that I'm getting this from you on radio?
Well, I mean,
live in front of people?
I don't remember anything after the feeding.
Oh. Oh, no. Adding insult to injury, you don't remember anything.
I'm saying,
that's rude to a woman, though.
I know you were drunk, but I didn't think you were that drunk. I'm hurt and
don't
shocked.
You feel that Kevin has just tried to jump in on your sudden fame now that everyone's talking about and watching you on the webcam there at the zoo?
Well, I would like my baby giraffe, which is known as a colt.
A calf.
To
this
know,
is your fourth one, April.
To know the baby's father, Okay.
I would like that, too. I don't know who it is.
How dare you?
I do
now
not.
Now you're insinuating I'm some sort of slut?
I am not liking where this is going.
It is yours. When they gave me the ultrasound, it had a giant head.
Oh, no.
And long legs, but just a massive head. It looked like a watermelon with some toothpicks.
Yes.
Sure, sticking out.
Sure.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, you going to have that calf anytime soon here? What's the deal here? What's the plan, April?
I don't know. I don't know if I can just force it to come out. I think it just nature has to take its course.
You just have to wait.
Okay.
They've been giving me a lot of nutrition.
Uh-huh.
They've been saying it's all important that I get a lot of nutrition, a lot of vitamin C. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I like orange juice.
Oh, no, April.
Really? Come on, April.
I like orange juice.
Thank you.
Grape juice?
I don't like grape juice.
No. Tomato
China
juice?
No, it's acid. It's a burning tummy.
Carrot juice?
No. Orange juice. Orange juice.
Hey, where'd the music go?
I'm expecting a check, Kevin.
Well, I don't.
At a minimum, I think that's.
Just pay me.
I just make it out to April?
Yes. April D. Giraffe.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin Bean Show. It is 10 minutes till 9. I'm being told that Dolph Lundgren is here.
In the building. He's here.
Wow. It's very exciting.
Very exciting day.
He's the best.
Looking forward to it. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Rob is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
I want to remind folks that Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I will once again be joining forces to bring you Hollywood Babylon up on the stage. 10 p.m. Friday night at the Late Show at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com and click on Hollywood and then get your information and tickets there. We have a pretty good time.
Yeah, that's not a thing. You're not the boss of me.
Looking forward to talking to Kevin because he's been in Vancouver shooting Supergirl.
Oh, right.
He's been directing another Supergirl episode, and he had a chance to work with Terry Hatcher.
All right.
Who was Lois, remember, on Lois and Clark.
Sure.
Yep. So I'm interested to hear how that experience was. And Dolph, our next guest, he was in Arrow, so he knows about that world.
Sure.
He played Konstantin Kovar, bad
when's
Russian
the big,
dude.
When's
that,
the big...
That's why Ollie had to join Bratva. In order to take him down, right?
Well, you don't tell me.
You know, Allie. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? When I joined Bratwurst, I was like,
not Bratwurst. Bratwurst.
Oh, sorry.
Bratva.
I wasn't listening.
The Brotherhood.
Yes.
And then Talia al Ghul discovers that Ollie is in Bratva and helps him hone his skills in order to become the Arrow. Right?
Like you do.
To take on his father's list of people who had failed Starling City.
Sure.
You don't know, man.
No.
Have they already had the big... all-series crossover yet in the CW world, Ralph?
Yeah, what about the musical? Wasn't there a musical?
Musical's coming up.
Nice.
They did the big alien crossover, that was last season, Bean.
No, but there was another one that was going to be this year.
A musical? They're doing a musical.
A bunch of the shows together, I thought.
Open up a blog.
Right.
Okay.
Open up a blog. Music Meister's still coming.
All right.
Is he part of Bratwurst? Or?
It's not Bratwurst, it's Bratva.
It's the Legion of Sausage.
It is the Legion of Sausage.
Thank you, Kevin.
Jeff Goldblum's going to be a dad again.
Huh.
I hope he has the maturity for it. He's only 64, so I'm hoping he's got the wisdom. Yeah, he broke the news he is expecting a baby boy with his wife, Emily. They already have a 19-month-old.
Wow.
And so they got right back on the horse. They're
in a rush.
He's 64.
Yeah, true.
If you're going to have some kids, you better have them now.
I know, right?
Right. Congratulations to those guys. Speaking of pregnancy, Kathy Hilton, who was the mother of Paris and Nikki, big socialite, she said she is convinced that Jennifer Aniston is going to have a girl. She's pretty sure that she's going to have a baby girl. 100%, she
says.
Hold on,
is she pregnant?
That's the problem, Allie.
Oh.
Once she made that statement, Jennifer Aniston came out and said, "I am not pregnant. I don't even know you, and that post is downright rude," she said.
Wow.
I'll say.
That's odd. What would possess someone to make that kind of speculation about
someone? I can't imagine. She's not claiming to be a psychic or anything, is she?
Nope, not that I know of.
That's weird.
Paris Hilton. Remember when Paris Hilton was a thing?
Yeah.
I sure do.
That's crazy. Speaking of reality show stars.
Didn't she have, Ralph, didn't she have for at least some time the most popular adult video of all time? Paris Hilton?
One Night in Paris?
Mm-hmm. I think it was for a while, yeah.
I believe that until
Kim Kardashian came along, yeah.
Speaking of these reality trollops, remember Danielle Bregoli? Danielle Bregoli? That name sound
no.
Ring a bell?
Got nothing.
What if I say, cash me outside, how about that? Cash me outside, how about that?
Cash me outside, how about that?
From the Dr. Phil show.
From the Dr. Phil show, yeah.
Yeah, her I know.
TMZ is reporting that Danielle has been contacted by 7 different producers, 4 of whom are in talks with her wanting to launch a reality series starring Cash Me Outside, how about that?
Cash Me Outside, how about that?
Who is going to want to sit down and spend time with that woman?
Woman? She's a child.
She's 13 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's an obnoxious little child.
Why?
Look.
How?
Look.
Who?
Because.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Right?
Right?
Did you forget that the Jersey Shore and Mama June and everyone else who's just unbearable and yet they make TV shows about them?
Bean, listen.
Yes.
Catch me outside. How about that?
That's all you need. It's a long show. You just need a
get with it
hilarious catchphrase.
And this isn't just one minor channel that's taken a chance. This is, it sounds like competition from everybody to get her on their network.
Yes.
All right.
How about some good TV news?
Please.
Jenna Fisher's coming back to television.
All right.
Remember Jenna who played Pam on The Office?
Love her.
Yes.
Sure.
She'll be starring in a new series for ABC called Splitting Up Together, about a divorced couple who continue to live in the same house, taking turns each week, living downstairs with the kids doing the parenting while the other one lives upstairs in a guest apartment.
That sounds like hijinks.
And they will switch back and forth each week. A lot of families are doing this, by the way.
For real?
Yes.
For real? Wow.
Because one can't afford to move out? Or
they don't
want to
upset the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
And so instead of sending the kids to 2 different homes throughout the week, they only have one home, and the parents come in and out and stay at the house with the kids.
Wow.
So it's the parents that end up leaving in and out of the house instead of taking the kids and upsetting their world and making them go from house to house between the two parents.
This is the opposite of how most parents get divorced. Where they care only about themselves. This is
right. They can't stand to be in the same room.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Ralph, this reminds me of the current plot line with Paul Giamatti on our show that we love so much, Billions.
Oh, I'm so glad Billions is back, by the way.
He's doing the exact same thing with his wife.
Oh, we haven't talked about it, but it's been
It's been pretty great.
Wait a minute. Last season, you said you couldn't watch Billions because there's no one to root for because they're both such despicable characters.
Yeah, he hated it.
You hated Billions.
Yes, and stuck with it, ended up loving it.
You get the hell out. Uh-oh. You get right the hell out.
But I ended up loving the show.
No. You do not get to love it now.
You can't turn around on that?
No. You can't just beat it up and then offer it a Band-Aid and some Bactine spray.
I was happy to
know what
stuck
that means.
It
was a bad analogy.
And I've enjoyed it.
But you did nothing but bad mouthing. How can you watch that? They're both so awful. There's
no
root for
it. I think when it first debuted, I think that was early on in its
first
couple of episodes.
You said it the whole time.
No, that's not true.
Oh, you belong in a bag in the desert.
I'm just saying it's a good show. It's a good show.
It's a great show. It's always been great. And you're in a bag in the desert. Where you're headed. Just letting you know. So that's Jenna Fisher's new show, so that'll be good, right?
Yes.
Right. And in music news, Depeche Mode has finally announced their tour dates for the North American leg of its Global Spirit Tour. They open in Salt Lake City on August 23rd, wrap up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, on October 27th. So it's going to be a long tour through the summer and fall months for the band.
What's their Los Angeles date?
Here you go, Kev. Only New York City and Los Angeles will get 2 shows each. New York will get Madison Square Garden, and Depeche Mode will be playing at the Hollywood Bowl. All the rest are one-nighters. So you can go to their website and find out when that is. But I don't have the exact date here. But they're going to be at the Hollywood Bowl for 2 nights.
It's in my iCal.
in your eye cow?
I put it in yesterday. It's in October.
Like the 8th and 10th or something.
I don't believe those are the exact dates. It's the 12th and 14th.
12th and 14th of?
Of October. That's a Thursday and a Saturday, everybody.
There you go.
Press release say whether Allie is allowed to go to any of those shows?
I'm totally allowed to go.
Does it mention?
No, it does mention no Allie. Yeah,
my all-time
say right
favorite
here.
Band, I will be there both nights. Might even fly to New York. You know what I'm saying? Love them.
I think you're saying you might fly to New York.
Remember that cover band featuring Joe Pesci eating ice cream? Pesci a la mode? Remember them? Remember them? We saw them at the Troop. That was an odd band.
It was strange.
All strange, him eating ice cream. Singing Depeche Mode hits. What
was that?
There?
What was that, Bean?
Wrong!
Depeche Mode singing Wrong.
You might want to take another run at pulling
popular
that.
Song.
Wrong.
I mean, it's only bad in that you can't tell what's being said.
Okay, well, take it up with the band when we next speak with them.
I want to make a note next to that clip. Today's
catch me outside. How about
yeah,
that?
Exactly.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Roger Daltrey of The Who. Yeah! 73 years old today. Ron Howard is 63. Ron Howard just seems like a great guy.
Nicest guy in the world.
Love
him to death.
He tweeted out a picture of himself this morning. His wife, Cheryl, who they've been together forever, since high school. She had a birthday surprise for him. And he's just sitting there. It's like dawn behind him in the window. And he's sitting there at the table with a present in front of him, a little cake with a candle. And he's got a little, like a kid's birthday hat on.
Aww.
Sitting at his table in his breakfast nook. And I was like, oh, Ron Howard.
He's the best.
Nicest
guy in the world.
And
he's been a big star since he was like six, right?
Yeah, he's been famous forever.
And when he came in, I remember thinking, he doesn't know he's Ron Howard.
Right.
He absolutely does know he's Ron Howard.
But I'm saying he doesn't act like it at all.
I think it's because he knows he's Ron Howard and he realizes that people react that way to him, and I think he goes out of his way to make people feel as calm and as comfortable with him as possible.
He's a lovely man.
I think he carries the mantle of fame very
easily.
He
does.
He carries it very well.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Tim Daly, 61 years old today. Zack Snyder turns 51. Javier Bardem is 48. Mark Paul Gosselaar, our buddy from Pitch, he is 43 years old today. Jensen Ackles turns 39. Lupita Nyong'o,
Oscar winner.
Oscar winner, and one of the most fun names to say on the planet Earth, by the way. Lupita Nyong'o is 34. Kesha is 30.
How can that?
And Justin Bieber turns 23 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this
week. Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
That guy that's in all the movies.
Yes.
And on Arrow.
Yes.
He's in the studio with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, actor, director, producer, screenwriter, martial artist. Is there nothing this man can't do? We're pleased to welcome a legend to the Kevin and Bean Show, the great Dolph Lundgren. Ladies and gentlemen, is here. Dolph Lundgren.
Thanks.
How are you, sir?
Oh, good. Good. Great. Nice to be here.
To see you, and I have so many questions for you because it's such a dream come true to have you on the show. But, I mean, you're Dolph Lundgren all the time, so everywhere you go, people must just be astonished to meet you. I wonder what it's like for you just walking through the day because you don't exactly blend into a crowd.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I suppose the longer you stay around in this business, and especially now when everything is so fast and there's such a high turnover, people, I guess, they don't meet guys who've been in the business for 30 years that often, I suppose.
Yeah.
So it makes it kind of special.
What do most people approach you about? Is there one overwhelming role, like Drago?
I mean, Rocky IV is the one people remember a lot. The younger kids sometimes talk about Expendables a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Various countries, like in England or Europe, Masters of the Universe is a big deal.
Right.
For some reason.
You were He-Man.
Yeah, He-Man. You got it. So, and then sometimes martial arts, you know, because some, you know, people, well, if I'm around athletes, that's what they talk about,
martial arts
and stuff, boxing.
And you have been, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, Dolph, but you have been working, I feel like, consistently, it seems like, since you broke in the mid-80s. How many movies and television shows do you reckon you've done at this point?
I think it's around 70 movies.
70?
Yeah, 70. You know what's strange is I remember way back when I started and I – there wasn't, I didn't have IMDb and all of this, but I was looking at if it was John Wayne or if it was, Lancaster, somebody had done like 80 movies or 100 movies, and I was like, wow, 100 movies. I'd done like two.
Right.
And now I'm at 70. You're at 70. It's like, what the hell? What
and when you, walked in, doing? When you walked in, Allie was angry at you for looking so young.
I yes. was mad at his face. He's not aging. It's insane to me.
I mean, it's not cool. If that's what you're
sorry,
saying.
Sorry.
It's not
sorry,
okay.
Folks. Okay, I'll leave.
No, please stay.
Now, some of that, obviously, is you can look at you and see you're a man who obviously takes care of himself. Is some of it, though, just that good Swedish stock? Is that where, I mean, is that how your people age is like this?
I guess, yeah, maybe both of those. I mean, I used to go out and party a lot and drink a lot and stuff when I was younger, and not really young, but after I got in the business. So I haven't been like totally super healthy, but I did work out all the time and I did make all those movies. So every film I had to get in shape for and stuff. But now I'm much more conscious of my health and not to.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be really easy at some point along the way to go, I just can't go to the gym anymore and just blob out. But because of the line of work that you're in, when people hire Dolph Lundgren, they want to see this Dolph Lundgren, right?
Yeah. I got to pay my rent. I got a few bills, divorce, things like that.
Have you had any injuries, Dolph, in all the years that you have been working out? And your Instagram is famous for, lifting weights and running on the beach and just doing all sorts of stuff where I feel like you could get hurt. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, it's happened a few times when I was fighting, when I was a fighter back in the day. But, in movies, once in a while you do something. I haven't had any really, really bad injuries. I had an ankle problem, have some hip thing from kicking somebody in the head too much, whatever it was.
Same
old thing.
Right.
Nothing serious, no. I've been lucky that way.
Dolph is very much working. If I'm not mistaken, we're going to talk about your new film that's available Friday in theaters and on demand called Don't Kill It. But I'm looking at IMDb right now, and it looks like you've got about, no joke, a dozen movies either finished or in production right now. This looks like the most prolific time in your whole life.
Well, there's some truth to that. I mean, IMDb, sometimes, people put stuff on there and then you have to try to get it off because you're not really in that picture. There's maybe one or two like that. But, yeah, I have done a lot of things lately and I got a few things coming up, various things I'm working on. Some of them I'm producing or directing, but, they may or may not happen this year. It could be next year. But, yeah,
gotcha.
There are a few things coming up.
Does stuff surprise you every once in a while? Oh, I forgot I did that. That's out now.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes also when people ask me about movies and, I just like, what was the name of that movie? I can't remember. I had no clue. It's like.
It's called Fat Slags.
Oh yeah, that one. Is that one your favorite?
Is that one real?
Yeah, Fat he's Slags. Randy and Fat Slags.
Yeah, that one I hardly remember. That's during the time I used to have a couple of cocktails once in a while.
It is funny.
It's about 25 years ago.
It is funny to look at some of the movies you've been in because I feel like some of them could actually be porn movies. Like One in the Chamber sounds like it might be. Dolph was in a film called The Package. I think that speaks for itself.
He was in Missionary Man.
Yeah,
he was in Skin Trade.
Right?
Jesus. Jill Rips. That's concerning.
That was, I was poor hanging Jill. Upside down nude in that one, I remember.
Puncture Wounds was another one. I don't want to know what kind of sexy time that involves. Puncture Wounds.
Well, that was with Grace Jones, that one. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
This Don't Kill It, the movie that opens on Friday. Is this, forgive me if this is a dumb question, Dolph, but is this your first horror movie?
I think so. Well, I did one kind of horror, science fiction horror called Come in Peace.
Okay.
Back in the 80s, late 80s. And this one, but this is the first kind of horror movie. Yeah. That I'm not a, huge horror fan. I mean, but I read the script and then the director, Mike Mendez, is a specialist in the genre.
He did Big Ass Spider, which we loved. He did Lavalantula, which we loved.
Yeah. And he's a great guy and he had some really cool ideas. And I love the main character because the guy, he won't stop talking. He's just a pain in the butt, this guy. And usually my characters don't say anything. They just shoot somebody.
I was going to ask you about that because I feel like you have more dialogue in this movie than any other 10 pictures you've done put together.
Yeah, you're right.
Jebediah is a talker.
You're right.
He's a talker.
He's a big talker. He just won't shut up.
What do you estimate, and I don't think this is a spoiler alert because you know what you're getting when you see a movie called Don't Kill It. What do you estimate the body count is in this film, Dolph?
I don't know. It's very high, and it's like a splatter. I mean, there's a lot of
dozens,
blood.
Right?
There are buckets of blood standing by on set when Mike's working.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Death by knife and by gun and by poison and by chainsaw and by getting hit by cars. I mean, it's like every time you turn around, somebody's losing it in this film.
But the funny thing about it is that because it's a comedy as well, it's very light, and I think most people like that. Like, nobody walked out in the screening, even though it's violent, because they're laughing at the same time. Because,
right,
you know,
absolutely.
That's the character. I mean, the story is, well, it's about a demon. I play a demon hunter. It looks like a cross between Indiana Jones and Clint Eastwood. You know, something like that. But anyway, the demon, basically, if you kill the demon, it becomes you.
Right.
Like they do.
So don't kill it.
Yeah.
Right. And no one read the title of the movie.
Yeah, it takes a bit of intelligence to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah. The film is in theaters and available video on demand this coming Friday, March 3rd. Again, it's called Don't Kill It. Dolph, you must stick around. I'm not asking, I'm telling you, because we have so many more questions for you. We're not going to let this opportunity to ask you those questions get by without it. So we'll be right back more with our guest right after this on K-Rock. I think, by the way, if I can pat ourselves on the back, Kevin, I think considering our guest killed Apollo Creed, we're being pretty nice to him, by the way.
Are we?
The great Dolph Lundgren in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His latest film is called Don't Kill It, in theaters and video on demand this coming Friday, March 3rd. We want to talk about Arrow, but let me ask you a couple other things real fast, Dolph, just because I have to know. How many countries in the world have you lived in?
Not that many. Well, the U.S., Sweden, Australia. I went to school there. I lived in London for a year. Where else? Oh, Spain. I lived in Spain for 10
years.
That's
a lot of countries.
Wow.
How many languages do you speak?
Well, not that many. Just about 20. What is it, 17? No, I'm just kidding. There's English, Swedish, a little German. I understand 5 words of Japanese or maybe 15 words.
So how many languages was that, would you say you were fluent in? About five, maybe?
No, a little Spanish. No, about 3-4, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. All right. How many degrees do you have?
Well, I have chemical engineering, master's and a bachelor's, and have, well, that's it, I guess. You know?
That's all?
Yeah, that's all, yeah.
And is there ever any circumstance in life where you use anything you learned with a master's degree in chemical engineering?
Well,
ever.
I mix really good drinks.
That's a very expensive bartender school.
Yeah. That was extended. Yeah.
It's really funny.
5 years.
It's not the type of thing that there's a lot of use in day-to-day life for, right?
No, you know, engineering, well, the good thing about engineering is you learn about life and how things work, and you learn to analyze things and texts, and so I can help my kids with their homework, and I can, you know, occasionally figure out how something works, you know, a machine or something like that, or, you know.
Do you have family or friends that were like, hey, you got that degree. What's going on with this acting thing?
Yeah, my parents. Yeah,
that seems
they
bad.
Said, that's what they said.
Right?
My dad. Was like,
were they a slow convert to you being an actor?
Yeah, in the beginning, because, you know, I was supposed to be at MIT, and I gave that up, and I...
On a Fulbright scholarship.
Yeah.
MIT.
I was in New York, you know, studying acting instead, so I didn't have to lie, because my parents would say, oh, how's school? Yeah, school's good, you know.
Until they saw me...
No, they didn't know for a while.
I didn't know
how to tell them, because my dad
was... That was Dolph's first acting was lying to his parents.
Well, you see, my dad was an engineer, and he was really proud that I was going to MIT and all of this. But I guess then one day he picked up a newspaper, and he saw me next to Grace Jones in Studio 54.
How long were you...
Isn't that my son, the engineer?
How long were you...
With no shirt,
not...
leather pants.
How long were you not going to MIT that your dad thought you were going to MIT?
Only for about a few months. Then he found out about it, yeah.
By the way, when you just as a toss away, and this is the incredible life Dolph Lundgren has led, as a toss away, I met Grace with Grace Jones, your girlfriend at the time, at Studio 54, wearing no shirt and leather pants. There's got to be a book in you, Dolph. Is that something you've thought about?
A book?
A book? Yeah.
Yeah, I had a few offers, but yeah, I got a few things left to do, and when I've done those things, then maybe I'll write it.
What kind of things?
Well, I don't know. Just having more fun in life, and you know, in the business, and
it's going to solve cancer, and
something.
Find life on Mars,
right?
You know, I don't know.
Random question, but you mentioned the Expendables, and you did what? You did three Expendables movies, right?
Mm, okay. Yes.
In real life, who wins in a fight between you and Sylvester Stallone? In real life.
Well, look, he's a great guy, and, you know.
That's not what we're asking.
Well, I don't know. He'd probably, you know, he'll probably, like, trick me into something. But, I mean, I'm a little bigger than him, so.
You are bigger,
there's
that's
weight
true.
Categories, you know, so. You can't fight, you can only stay in your weight, you know, when you weight class.
Well, you're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
All right, Dolph, hey, you are heading
hit
back
me harder,
up.
Dolph, hit me harder.
All nice. You are heading back up to Vancouver here pretty soon. You have a recurring role on Arrow that people are loving as Konstantin Kovar, and it seems like it maybe has turned into more than you thought it would when you signed up.
Yeah, it has. You know, I hadn't done television and
ever.
I've done like quick appearances and things. But this character turned out to be, you know, he's a Russian bad guy, but he's kind of fun. And I kind of play him as the Russian Marlon Brando. You know, so he talks like this. You know, this is Marlon Brando, but a Russian version. And so, you know, people seem to like it, and he's kind of fun. And, yeah, I mean, television is I suppose, you know, it's very, very popular these days. So maybe one day I'll do a TV show.
So how many episodes were you supposed to do?
I was supposed to do two.
And how
I
many?
Think I was supposed to be killed off after that.
And how many did you end up doing?
Well, I've done I'm doing six, I think.
Six? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Mm. Look, some of the best writing and best directing and best acting in the world right now is done on television. I mean, it's just those two have come together now. There's really no difference. People go to where the quality is, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And then they shoot it also. Same cameras pretty much as they use in movies, you know, same HD cameras and the red cameras. And so it looks cinematic as well. It looks good as well. Yeah.
Have you ever done straight-up comedy? Because you're a very funny person.
Straight-up comedy?
Yeah.
What do you mean, stand-up? No, straight-up. I mean, I haven't really. I've tried it. Well, I did Kindergarten Cop 2, which was like a kind of a universal follow-up to that Arnold thing. But, no, I mean, I'm trying to infuse these characters with a little comedy. Like in Don't Kill It, for instance. I mean, you can play it straight. Or, you know, I figured I can be so threatening anyway. I might as well be... have fun with it and make the character light, you know.
Well, I have a clip from the film that Dolph is here to talk about called Don't Kill It. It's in theaters and available video on demand this Friday. And by the way, if you do want to see it in a theater, you can. It is going to be playing at the Lamley's NoHo on Friday if you want to see it on the big screen. But this is a scene where you, as you mentioned, Dolph, you are the demon hunter.
Oh.
And you have a guy who comes to you and says, my daughter's got the demon. She's down in the basement. What should I do? And you've got some advice for him, and he doesn't love it.
If she's possessed, is she in a lot of pain?
Well, that's right. She sure is.
Because there got to be a way I can help her. I mean, how can I help her?
There is a way to do that.
Well, how?
The only way you can do that is by killing her.
What? What'd you say to me?
You'll be putting her out of a lot of misery.
I can't kill my little girl.
That ain't your little girl down there no more.
I don't understand. I mean, wouldn't it just be the same prompts but inside of me now?
What we're going to do is I'll make some poison. You drink it. You go down there, do the deed. Wait to die. You will be with your girl. You wouldn't want her to be alone, though, would you? All right, I'll do it.
Is that your Mississippi accent? Is that what we're hearing there?
Yeah, it's like a kind of a Swedish Mississippi version. Yeah.
You know, the Swedish Mississippi accent.
There's a lot of Swedes down there, down in the swamps, you know.
You're very funny in the movie, Dolph.
Thanks,
and you are the strong, silent type usually, but this time you're right. They give you a lot to say.
Yes.
If you love, I don't know, is this fair to say, if you love those like slasher picks from the 80s, if those were your jam, you'll love this movie.
Yeah, you're right. Dead on. Yeah,
it's called Don't Kill It. It's in theaters and video on demand this Friday.
Thanks. Super fun to meet you. It's really been a thrill. I hope you'll come back and see us again.
I will. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
You guys remember the Dolph Lundgren times?
Those were good days.
Those were fun back then when Dolph was on the show.
If you'd ever like to feel like a woman...
Yeah,
just stand next to Dolph Lundgren.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a man, you always wonder what it'd feel like to be just without any sort of masculinity at all. Yeah. I was just a eunuch. Then you can just stand next to him and say, oh, this is what it feels like. Because this is a man, and I'm just a piece of garbage.
You're other is what you are.
Yes.
He sort of put, when we took pictures, he sort of put up a fist, so I put mine next to his.
It didn't work, right?
And my fist looked like a, a little squirrel fist. It was just ridiculous.
Oh, one of those squirrel fists.
You know, they are. Don't you hate when a squirrel makes a
You could have said my fist.
I don't know. That's,
squirrel
I was
fist.
Trying to think of something small.
You know how it is when a squirrel makes a fist. Dolph
just looks like something that they created in a laboratory. He doesn't look like he's of the same species as the rest of
Yeah, it's bogus.
It's kind of weird.
He's man with a capital M.
Yeah. And very nice. Very nice man,
Well,
too.
Of course he can afford to be nice because he could kill us all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, that was a lot of fun. It's 9:41. It is Wednesday morning. Time for our final look at the show biz beat. Here's Ralph.
The one question you guys didn't ask, does he have any interest in doing Dancing with the Stars? They could use him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because he's an actual star?
That's right. And they just released their list of cast members of who will be dancing with the pros this season. We hit on this some of the early in the week. There were some leaks.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Not really breaking news, Allie, because they announced it this morning. And a lot of these names we had earlier, but we didn't know some of the big names. Like Charo. We didn't have Charo. We didn't know that was going to happen.
I didn't know she was still alive.
How dare you, sir?
And she honestly. Was famous in the 60s and 70s mostly?
70s mostly.
Mm-hmm.
She was
like
a staple on the Love Boat. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
various game shows.
Coochie Coochie. She did
so
said
much
that
Coochie
a lot.
Coochie.
And she's actually a world-class flamenco guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to tell me.
I know, because Kevin, you also are a flamenco right. guitarist. Anyway, she's dancing with the stars. Or I guess she'll be a star dancing with other people who are not stars.
Right.
Bonner Bolton also will be dancing.
We found out earlier he is a rodeo champion.
Champion bull rider. Chris Kattan, who used to be on Saturday Night Live, and he was Mango.
Mm-hmm. It was Mango.
And he was Mr. Peepers or whatever that monkey was. Monkey Boy.
He was Corky.
He was Corky?
He was the...
So many things he was.
What
he was
is one, love?
He was at the Roxbury with Will Ferrell. Yeah. I think he can even bear to watch that film anymore.
It's like Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell were the brothers in the Night at the Roxbury. They would do that thing with their heads.
I hope that's one of the songs he dances to on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, it's got to have to be. Nancy Kerrigan. World-class figure skater Nancy Kerrigan. She was a figure skater, I think, in the 30s.
That's correct.
With when FDR was in office, she used to skate.
I don't think so.
Why? That's right. She got kneecapped back in the day.
That was the weirdest thing ever.
She gets kneecapped on Dancing with
the
Stars.
I don't think that's something you should hope for.
You fix it, work it in the routine. She's like dancing, and her partner grabs like a foam, like fake pipe, and they hit her in the leg. She's got to hop around on one leg during the dance routine. How great would that be?
Or surprise her and just bring out Jeff Galooly when she doesn't expect it.
Oh, right. Nobody knows Jeff Galooly is.
That's the guy that did it the first time.
Everybody.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Rashad Jennings, running back, will be dancing. Heather Morris from Glee will be dancing. David Ross will be dancing.
From your world champion Chicago Cubs, now retired.
Erica Jane, former or I guess current Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. Normani Corday. From One Harmony?
Fifth Harmony?
I think they're down to four, though.
Are they down?
I think Ralph was on the right track, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're fourth Harmony now.
There
right.
will be just one Harmony. Simone Biles from the Olympics, Nick Viall from The Bachelor. And
doesn't he always call people Bubba?
No, he does not. He cries a lot and says, I don't know if I'm going to find love in this situation or not.
I just can't take him anymore.
He doesn't move his jaw very much when he talks. And Mr. T, of course, Mr. T. will also be dancing with the stars.
Well, there's one person I'm interested in.
I pity the fool. Don't watch me dance. I love it when a plan comes together.
Me too, Mr. T. How about Mike Tyson, comedian?
That's disgusting.
He's got his next job lined up. He's going to have his own sketch comedy series on YouTube.
Nope.
Yeah.
I mean, nope. He has surprised us before.
Mike will be starring in a new sketch comedy series produced by Shots Studios, which runs a YouTube comedy network. And this is all on the back of Mike's Soulja Boy diss track, which has racked up more than 2 million views since it was posted on January 17th. And so the success has led to a new career for Mike as sketch comedian.
If you show up, it's going down.
Right?
That was it, right? That was the song.
That was pretty short.
Well, that was just the
That was the edit. U2's being sued. How dare you sue U2?
Oh, no.
You do not sue U2.
Did they put their album on somebody's iPhone again?
No, this time a British singer-songwriter
is claiming that the band ripped off one of his songs. Look, dumbass. U2 doesn't need to rip your song off.
No.
Turns out they can write pretty good songs themselves.
Yeah. He has a song is called Knee Slappin'. And he says they stole it for their Achtung Baby single.
Why so soon?
In 1991.
Oh, he's right on it, isn't he?
For The Fly. He said Knee Slappin' was stolen for The Fly in 1991.
And he just now heard it for the first time?
Apparently. He is he's asking for $5 million in damages and a songwriting credit for The Fly. Hmm.
I know that people have lost these kind of copyright lawsuits before because it ends up sounding a little bit too much like another song that was a hit. But has a no-name ever come out against a band like U2 or the Bee Gees or some of the others that I'm thinking of and won a case? Ever?
Well, Paul says he was signed to Island Records in 1989, and U2 was also on that label. Ooh. So he says they would have access to his demo. And that's where the thievery transpired.
But U2 had already had five albums of hit material by then, by 1989.
You don't know, Bean.
All right.
He said,
I mean, I guess that's why you let a judge or jury decide.
We need
decide,
to take Paul Rose's song. We need it for our next album. That's K-Rock microphones were there.
No.
Discussing their thievery.
What's the group that was from Scranton and made it big? Is that U2?
Yes.
Yes. And in more music news, Cher is having a farewell tour.
I'm sorry, who?
Come on, again?
She's been on a farewell tour since 2000.
Come on.
She has got a residency in Vegas, which she says will be the last of her performances. But she just added another 18 to that. And so she'll be running through the fall with...
I want to go see that, by the way.
Classic Cher is the name
what?
Of the show.
I want to see Cher's finale.
What's wrong with
why? She's a show business legend.
Right.
And if it really is the end...
It's
but
not.
It never is
but
the end.
Isn't.
I think it would be... Well,
A, it isn't.
At some
B,
point she'll die. She's old. But I'm just saying that's a show I would like to at least see one time before it
But is
away.
There still drinking and gambling in Vegas?
Well, yeah, but you can
okay,
put
then
that
no.
aside for 2 hours
nope.
to see Cher.
Nope.
No
nope.
interest is what
nope.
you're saying.
Nope.
Ralph, you're with me. You wouldn't mind seeing Cher.
I don't think I have any interest in seeing Cher, really.
The girl? How about you?
My name's Allie, and I'm a woman, and I have seen Cher, and it was 2 hours of my life I'll never get back.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. Not a good show?
Wow.
Right from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Well, she's not a horse. I think she establishes she's a woman. What was the problem with the show?
It's Cher.
I am not a fan of her singing, so I just went to, you know, be with my gays. Because my gay friends wanted to go, and I said, I will go. And then I just sat there miserable because she is not a songstress.
If you could turn back time, would you choose not to go to that show?
Hmm. I see what you did, and I liked it.
This was a success.
This was a success. Come on with the buzzer now.
You guys.
You guys are just gypsies, tramps, and thieves, and I will not... be treated. Don't applaud that. I will not be treated like that by you. Come on, Kevin. I got you, babe. Why don't you have my back? You just don't like me because I'm a half-breed? Is that what it is? Is that what your problem is? The crowd's going crazy for this.
Crowd loves that song.
They love me.
You're killing it with the audience.
So glad we don't have any phones, but we have a studio audience
right?
now. That's finally the show's got what it needs.
Why do some people tune out?
Speaking of studio audiences, Kevin Smith and I are doing our show again, A Hollywood Babylon, this Friday night at the Improv on Melrose. We'd love to have you come join us. It's pretty easy to do. You go to improv.com, you click on Hollywood, and then all the information is right there for you. So come on.
Sit down.
Come join us. That guy's going to be there. Today's celebrity birthday is Justin Bieber, is 23 years old today. Why does he still act like a child?
Isn't it shocking that he's only 23? Doesn't it seem like he's been famous forever?
Well, he has,
it does,
but he started young.
Mm-hmm.
Kesha's 30.
That's talking about.
That's what she's talking about. Lupita Nyong'o is 34 years old. Jensen Ackles is 39. No love that I was able to remember that many Cher songs? Come on. Come on, Kevin, you got to give me that.
I mean, is that an accomplishment?
Who would have thought that would happen?
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, I know when I go to Vegas the next time, I found someone to go see. Is that not a Cher song? I found someone.
I found someone. Oh, yeah, yeah. It just, with the rest of the words, it didn't work. Yeah,
okay.
You got to put a.
See, that's why I can't play this game.
You got to put italics on it or make it bold type or something so it stands out
but
a little
I
bit.
But I came up with one so we can only hear it.
The crowd is unusually solid, Kevin. I don't know.
We're happy.
I don't think they're happy with your work.
Oh, see, that's why I don't do that, because I can't. Yeah.
Mark Paul Gosselaar is 43 years old
can't
today.
Play with the kids.
Javier Bardem is 48. Zack Snyder is 51. Tim Daly, very talented actor, who had a horrible skiing accident this season.
Did he?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. He broke both of his legs skiing. I don't know if you heard about that or not, but apparently he's... on the men. 61 years old today. Ron Howard is 63. And Roger Daltrey. Yeah! Star of NCIS Las Vegas. He is 73 years. No, he's the lead singer of The Who. He is 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness this afternoon at 5 p.m. We get a full hour of commercial-free music here on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We hope to have phones so that we hope to be able to give away Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets. That's our goal.
Send in your postcards, kids.
We would like that. We also talked to Dr. Drew on Thursdays, we think, which might or might not happen.
I talked to him with no phones.
We talked to Jim Rome.
We think.
Yeah.
And we do know that we're going to have Dream Car in studio. I'm not sure why my voice went so high. Dream Car in studio, world premiering their new single. So that's going to be at 7:20, and it's also going to be on Facebook Live tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.